And now, live from Tribune Tower, Chicago, this is the WGN Radio Theater with Carl Amari.
Dragnet.
The Jack Benny Program.
I'm that man. Matt Dillon, United States Marshal.
Yes, it's Maxwell House Coffee Time, starring George Burns and Gracie Allen.
Good evening, friends of the Inner Sanctum.
We offer you escape.
It's time once again for another comedy episode of Our Miss Brooks.
Suspense.
Countdown for blast-off. X-1.
Richard Diamond, private detective.
The Johnson Wax Program with Fibber McGee and Molly.
Kraft presents The Great Gildersleeve.
Yeah.
It is 7 minutes after 11 p.m. This is the WGN Radio Theater. I'm your host, Carl Amari. Welcome, everyone. And to my right, the vibrant Lisa Wolf. Hi, Lisa.
Hi, Carl. I'm feeling very vibrant.
Yeah, you're
as you
like
say.
Illuminating the vibrancy.
Well, thank you. The studio is decorated, so I'm just feeling the excitement of the room.
Very holiday, Christmassy.
Yes.
And Mike Estella, my executive producer, is here. Dan Long, our producer, the best in the business. And this is where we play classic radio shows every week here until 2 o'clock in the morning, every Sunday from 11 till 2 a.m. And this evening we have three Thanksgiving shows, Abbott and Costello to start things off, the Jack Benny Program, and the Great Gildersleeve. But before all of that, we're going to talk to our in-studio guest, the wonderful, the lovely, the warm and gorgeous Kathy Garver is here. Kathy, who played Sissy on Family Affair. You haven't changed. You look exactly the same. I just love you so much.
Oh, thank you, Carl. Love you, too. All those accolades are making my my face red, and it's not from the cold in Chicago or the beautiful red Christmas decorations, but thank you very much. I appreciate it.
You really do look lovely. And you're in Chicago. You're on a tour because you have a new book out. And the book is called Surviving Sissy, My Family Affair, A Life in Hollywood. It's an awesome book. I have it right here. It's just awesome. We'll talk about it in a minute. But you're here promoting the book and doing some stuff. What are you in Chicago for right now besides the show?
Besides this show, this is my number one reason to be here and to see lovely Lisa and you, Carl. I was at the Museum of Broadcast Communications and doing a presentation, and I've been doing television shows. I did some spots for MeTV because I hate to admit this, but it is the 50th anniversary of Family Affair. Odd to me, since I am 39, aren't I, Carl and Lisa?
Yes.
It's an amazing feat, right?
Yes, it is. It's magic. It's the kind of magic that we do in Hollywood.
Right. Now, Family Affair started 50 years ago, and you were on the very first episode of that show, and were you on all of the episodes, Kathy?
Every single one.
Every
it was in my
one.
Contract, yes.
So let's talk a few minutes about, just a couple of minutes about Family Affair. And, I mean, you've done so many other things, but that's a show that people can see you on every single day. It's airing still today, right? Everywhere.
It's on MeTV. It's on DVD.
Yeah.
That you helped me put together. Thank you very much.
My
and
pleasure.
I talk about that in my book, about how Carl helped to get the Family Affair pictures onto DVD.
And yeah. Carl knows what page that's on, too.
Yes, he does. And what page is that?
He's counting the pages where he finds his name.
Wherever I mentioned, I have it bookmarked here.
Right.
See that? And so, that was just, I know you were in a movie with Charlton Heston before that. You were in the Ten Commandments.
Right, not the silent version.
Yeah, no, definitely not. You did a lot of films and things before that. And then here comes this audition, right?
Right.
And all of a sudden, you're famous. You're on a super popular television show with Brian Keith and a terrific cast. And that has just been – and how many years was that on the air?
It was on 5 years. And after the first 3 years, they put it into syndication. That's what helped. So it was on concurrently with the new shows coming on. And after all the 5 years, then it went to FX, TV Land. It's on now MeTV and, of course, the DVDs. And MeTV has a new network called Decades. Mm. So you can binge not on food but on TV series.
Yep. Well, I'm sure that you have men say to you all the time, you were my first crush, which you were my first crush. I used to watch Family Affair and say, I like this show, Mom.
And I really like that girl.
I'm not sure why I like the show so much, but I really like that sissy.
Well, I liked her too, not because I had a crush on you.
That's okay.
Although I do remember you very fondly, but it was a really memorable show.
Yeah.
And I think it was a we love that show. We still love it today. So there was some special quality. What do you think it was about that show that made it so loved by everyone, not just, you know, young men, but by families alike?
Well, I think it was a place where people could go for comfort and for comedy. On this book tour, I've been really surprised, and people have come up to me. I remember vividly, I think it was in Tennessee, this woman, she was crying, and she came up, and she said, I said, are you all right? And she said, yes, but your show, he says, I was abused when I was a child, and this was like an island of comfort that I could go to and feel love. So our show was not about violence and insulting each other and things that sometimes we see on television today. It was a place where there was a problem. Uncle Bill solved the problem with understanding and with love throughout the family. And each one of the members of the family returned that affection. So I think that's one of the reasons that everybody wants to be loved or love someone. And that never goes out of style. And that makes it very classic.
Sort of goes back to the basics of family.
And great writing and terrific acting. And just and Brian Keith, of course, was just, I'll bet you he was just amazing to get to know and work with, right?
Yes, and here was a movie star coming to do a television series, which was really not done at that time in the 60s. I mean, Family Affair had a lot of firsts, one of the first shows in color, and it was one of the first to employ this Feddersen method where the star of the show would only work for 30 days, and we were doing 32 episodes at the time. He would complete all of his work within that time. But the kicker was he got a piece financially of the show.
And that's why.
And that wasn't done before.
Very, very cool. So before we talk about the book, because we only have a couple more minutes, what are some of the things you're working on now? I know you have some movies in the works, and you're always doing television.
And another book,
And another book after this book. What's the book after this book? So we could just plug it real quick.
It's Ex-Child Stars. Where Are They Now?
Yeah.
Following the child stars from television series in the 50s, 60s, 70s, 80s, all of whom are mostly my friends that I wrote about. But what happened to them?
Yeah, terrific. All right, this book, though, which you're on a tour for, and we're going to talk about now, and so people could get this. It's called Surviving Sissy, My Family Affair of Life in Hollywood. Chock full of pictures, so many awesome pictures of you working with so many stars. And why should people get this book? I mean, I have it and I love it, but tell the listeners why they need to have this book.
Well, one, I think they'll be entertained by it and also inspired. And that wasn't what I set out to do. It's like number one on Amazon for Hollywood history as well as a memoir. So I did a lot of research from not only, I did the Patty Duke show. Well, what did Patty Duke do before that? Well, what about Johnny Crawford in The Rifleman? What was that? What about Charlton Heston? So it's really has so many things that people can learn, be entertained, and be inspired.
Wow.
Kathy, tell me one thing. When you started to write this book, what did you set out to do?
Just put down my life.
Mm-hmm. Just put it out there.
And as I started to writing it, there were different threads that started to connect. Mm-hmm. And these coincidences that happen to all of us in life, you know, that, all of a sudden I meet Carl Amari at a book exposition, and we are still friends. And he has been very instrumental in my life in making a lot of things happen.
Oh, thank you.
Mine too.
Appreciate that.
we like Carl.
So, folks, you have to get this book. You can go to Amazon and buy it, or you can go to Kathy's website, which is Kathy Garver. It's with a K, KathyGarver.com, right? KathyGarver.com.
Right.
And there you can get an autograph picture.
Right. And
I
that's
mean, autographs a book.
Yes.
You will autograph the book for people. So go to KathyGarver.com. And there's a whole store there with other things and your other books. She has an awesome cookbook. So go there or, of course, Amazon. So it's KathyGarver.com. Kathy, it's always a pleasure to see you. You're so lovely. You're so beautiful. I just love you so much.
Thank you. I wish you the very merriest of Christmas.
Me
Happy
too.
Holidays,
Me
Lisa, too.
Too.
It's so lovely to see you.
Thank
and
you.
And especially in the snow. I think that we've really got the setting for having a happy holiday.
We definitely do. But get the book, Surviving Sissy, My Family Affair of Life in Hollywood by Kathy Garver. There's a foreword by Patty Duke. And this is an amazing book. I wish you the best with it and all you do. And we'll keep in touch. I love you. And when we come back, we're going to start things off with the Abbott and Costello Thanksgiving show. But first, let's pay some bills. There it is right there. Make sure you do check out Kathy's book. Go to KathyGarver.com, Surviving Sissy, My Family Affair of Life in Hollywood. Awesome book. You need to have it in your library. All right, it is time for our first classic radio show, Abbott and Costello Thanksgiving Show. We're celebrating Thanksgiving on this edition, and we'll be here for Thanksgiving, right, Lisa Wolf?
Yes, Thursday night from 7:30 p.m.
Special
until
edition.
10. Don't miss it.
We'll have more Thanksgiving shows. All right, let's tune this in November 25th, 1943, a special Thanksgiving program with Bud Abbott and Lou Costello on the Abbott and Costello Show.
The Abbott and Costello Program. Listen to the famous Leon Schlesinger cartoon character Bugs Bunny. Tonight's guest, Warner Brothers' lovely star of Princess O'Rourke, Miss Jane Wyman, and starring Bud Abbott and Lou Costello.
Hey, Abbott!
Costello, where have you been?
Good night!
Listen, you know, this is Thanksgiving, and we've got to plan our holiday dinner.
Oh, yeah. Hey, I went to a Thanksgiving dance for the soldiers at the Hollywood Canteen.
You did?
Boy, I had some experience in the conga line.
Why should the conga line make you late?
I must have gotten the wrong line. I never got to dance. But I washed my hands 3 times. Boy, oh boy, was that kitchen crowded.
Just a second.
That's a cover-up, you
just
see.
Just a minute. Did you get that... Come here, Lou. Did you get that black guy over at the canteen?
Yeah, while Hedy Lamarr was serving some Marines, I thought I'd go over and steal a kiss. Just then, the lights went out.
What's that got to do with the black eye?
Did you ever try to kiss a top sergeant?
No. Look, never mind that, Lou. I came over here to your house to talk about Thanksgiving dinner.
Now, good, Abbott. How about having Thanksgiving dinner with me?
Say, that's fine. What time?
8 o'clock at your house.
No. You'll get no turkey at my house.
Okay, make it duck.
Duck?
Yeah, duck. You know, that's chicken with snowshoes on.
No. Look, Costello, let's face facts. Now, I couldn't invite a person like you to my house. I'm used to eating with the snooty set.
I don't blame you. You're what?
I'm used to eating with the snooty set.
Snooty set?
That's right.
So now I ain't good enough to eat with pigs.
No. I didn't mean that. I'll have you know that my house, I have a very fine cuisine.
You what?
I have a very fine cuisine.
Are you reading this right?
Yeah, that's right.
You have a very fine cuisine.
You heard me. Too high class for you, I
think. So what? So, you got a very fine cuisine.
So what?
At my house, I have a very fine brother.
Brother? Oh, no, I don't. You don't understand. Look, why, I couldn't even ask my butler to serve you a dinner.
Serve me for dinner? No. What kind of people come to your house? Cannibals?
No.
No? Dracula?
Quiet.
Frankenstein?
Shut up.
What is this? Eat the people?
Oh, come on. Let's talk sense.
I take it back.
Look, dinner at my house is a very classy affair.
Good.
I even have a silver tray to brush the crumbs on.
Crumbs?
Yes, certainly. Don't you have crumbs at your table?
Sure, Abbott. You're welcome anytime.
Listen. Now, you forget about my house. I'm having turkey dinner right here at your house. Now, we're going to cook that turkey you've been raising in the backyard.
Abbott, are you suggesting that I cook my turkey?
Why not?
My little Ingrid?
Why not?
Never.
Wait.
Never.
Why not?
Abbott, I raised that turkey from an egg.
Oh, so what?
I sat on that egg and hatched it.
No.
I even laid that egg.
No, don't be ridiculous.
I'm a fodder.
Now, wait a minute, Lou. I know better. A man can't lay an egg.
Us men ain't doing bad here, are we?
Just never mind. Now, listen to me. Come in.
Oh, happy Thanksgiving.
Happy Thanksgiving.
Hey, Abbott, it's Mr. and Mrs. Niles.
Yes, I see.
Yes, you little blimp. I'll bet you're surprised to see me.
Well, since they lifted the dim out, a guy can see anything. How do you do?
Now, just a minute, Costello. Please don't make fun of my wife's appearance. She's beautiful from the top of her head to the tip of her toes.
She sure messed up that stuff in between.
Kenneth! Kenneth, are you going to stand for that?
Now, see here, Costello, you're making an ugly woman out of my wife.
Well, she's good material to work with.
Costello, that's not true.
Oh, no?
No.
When she sucks a lemon, the lemon makes a face.
No.
Boy, am I insulting you!
Yes, yes, yes. I'll say you are. How can you talk this way? Remember, Mrs. Niles is every inch a woman.
Ladies and gentlemen, the statement you have just heard is a paid political announcement and does not constitute the opinion of Lou Costello. Stop. No.
Now, look, look.
Continue.
Look, look, will you stop, though?
The paid wire.
Costello.
Go ahead.
These people are guests in your house. I invited them here for your Thanksgiving dinner.
Yes, yes, Kenneth. Can I? Excuse me, your line.
Well, Mr. Costello, Kenneth and I came here to eat your turkey.
Oh, no, you don't. You ain't sinking your teeth in my Ingrid. What a lull. That turkey is my pet.
Why, you... You overstuffed ingrate. You had turkey at our house last year.
Turkey? That was a pigeon.
It was a turkey.
Pigeon.
Turkey!
It's the first turkey I ever saw with a message tied to its leg.
Will you...
And the turkey was so old, the message was to gush you.
All right, I'll love it. Quit arguing, please, Costello. Listen to me. Now stop this arguing all the time.
Okay.
We're going out in the backyard and get your turkey. Come on.
No, no. Abbott, not that. What are you going to do with that knife?
Oh, I'm going to cut the turkey's gullet.
Gullet?
Yes, gullet. You know, turkey's neck.
I know they neck. And I want Ingrid to live to do some necking.
All right, never mind that.
Hey. Hey, Abbott.
What?
Here comes Ingrid now. She recognizes me. See, Mrs. Niles? She talks to me.
What? Lou... What did Ingrid say?
She says I'm her Gary Cooper.
Ah, here, come on, take the axe and grab her by the neck.
Grab her by the neck?
Yes.
Okay, okay. Come here, you.
Oh, Mr. Costello, what are you trying to do to me?
Pilot to navigator. Pilot to navigator. Sighted target. Target move.
Get out of here, come on. Costello, where are you going?
Oh, I'm going out in the backyard to feed Ingrid, my turkey.
You're going to feed your turkey with that bottle of stuffed olives?
Oh, sure, Abbott. Ingrid's crazy about stuffed olives.
No.
She loves those little red worms in the middle.
Little red worms? Costello, those are pimentos.
Pimentos? How do you like that? For years, I've been throwing away the best part.
Oh, please, you and that turkey. You drove Mr. and Mrs. Niles out of here. And this is my last word on the subject. Either the turkey goes or I go.
Gee, Abbott.
Now...
That leaves me no choice.
Well, I'm glad you come to your senses.
I'm going to miss you, Abbott.
I what?
I don't know why you're mad at Ingrid. I mean, after all, what did my turkey ever do to you?
What did she do? What did she do? I was eating breakfast this morning, and she walked right up to the table and stared at me. Why did your turkey stare at me?
You were eating from her bowl.
Oh, yes?
Who had a better right?
Just a minute. I've heard enough. Where's that axe?
No, no.
Give me that axe.
No, Abbott.
Come on.
Hey, Abbott,
don't. Get out of my way. Get
don't
out of my
kill
way.
Kill my turkey.
Get out.
Abbott. Look out, Ingrid. Look out, Ingrid. Run for your life. The Gestapo is coming. Ingrid. Ingrid. Oh, Ingrid. Oh, Ingrid. This should get me the Academy Award. My turkey is gone.
How do you know it's gone?
Look on the ground, Abbott.
The tracks?
No, the slave bracelet I gave her.
A what? You gave a turkey a slave bracelet?
What else could I do? I couldn't afford a ring.
Ah, Costello, did Ingrid mean that much to you?
It isn't every man that can have the love of a turkey. Abbott?
What?
Ingrid gave me the first egg she ever laid. I always carried it in my back pocket.
May I see it?
Okay. You know, Abbott, I should have had that egg hard-boiled.
Costello, listen.
Ingrid.
Over there in the next yard.
Here, Ingrid.
Ingrid.
Come here, Ingrid.
Come
here.
On, Costello.
Come here, Ingrid.
Just a moment, Jarvis. What's going on in here? What's all the noise?
Say, look who it is, Costello. Our neighbor, Jane Wyman.
All right, let's take a break right here. When we come back, we will pick it up exactly where we left off. You'll hear Jane Wyman. Also, Mel Blanc as Bugs Bunny is coming up on that show, a Thanksgiving program of Abbott and Costello. Let's take a break. Then it's more here on the WGN Radio Theater. All right, we're back. This is the WGN Radio Theater. It is 11:37. We'll be here till 2 o'clock in the morning, Monday morning, playing classic radio shows. All of the shows have a Thanksgiving theme, because this Thursday is Thanksgiving. And Lisa and I and Mike and Dan will be here on Thanksgiving night at 7:30 till 11 o'clock.
No, till 10 o'clock.
I'm sorry. What did I say? 7:30 till 10?
Till 10.
Oh, that's all?
That's
it. I thought
we
were on till 11.
That's great, because they can have a little dinner and then listen to a little classic
radio. Tune us in at 7:30 on Thursday, because we're going to play some more Thanksgiving shows.
Well, it will be Thanksgiving, so that would make good sense.
Yeah.
You know?
That was really nice of WGN. They asked us to come on the air and play some Thanksgiving special edition of our program. So be tuned in, please. Right, folks? Right? Sounds good. All right, it's time for our sponsor segment.
It's time for Celebrity Scoop, brought to you by Cat's Pride. Meow.
This actor joins the spy comedy Cold Warriors as a retired CIA agent who comes out of exile in order to take care of some unfinished business.
All right. If you know who this celebrity is, we're going to play a clip of him in a 2003 comedy fantasy drama called Bruce Almighty.
You must be Bruce. I've been expecting you.
All right, who is that celebrity? If you know, call us right now, 312-981-7200, 312-981-7200. You'll win a $25 gift card for 800 Degrees Neapolitan Pizza, terrific pizza place. Call us now, 312-981-7200. Phone lines are open. We'll find our winner after this short break.
You are listening to the WGN Radio Theater. We are playing Celebrity Scoop. Let's hear that movie clip again.
You must be Bruce. I've been expecting you.
And we have Mike on the line from Blue Island. Hey, Mike.
Hello. How are you?
I'm great, Mike. How are you, Mike? Can you name that celebrity for us?
Yes, it's Morgan Freeman.
It is Morgan Freeman. What an iconic voice he has. And, of course, he's joining this new movie called Cold Warriors. And you are a big winner. You have won a $25 gift certificate for 800 Degrees Neapolitan Pizza. It's located right downtown Evanston. I can tell you, Mike, I was there. I tasted the pizza. And it's special because you build your own pizza. It takes 1 minute to cook, and they put it in an 800-degree oven.
That's too long. 1 minute?
1 minute.
I can't wait a minute for a pizza.
In this wood-burning oven, and it's really, really special. So, Mike, I hope that you can check them out at 800degreespizza.com and have a delicious pizza on
us. I have
an
idea. Mike, what do you think of this idea? Make it 1,600 degrees. It'll be done in 30 seconds.
There you go.
Right?
That's right.
See?
And if you make
this
it,
this is why I make
and
the
if
big
you make
bucks,
it 2,400 degrees, then what happens?
Be done in 15 seconds.
Now it's getting to higher math, so it gets a little confusing. Anyways, it's a terrific restaurant. I was there. I hope you have a terrific pizza. They're really special there. It tastes like no other pizza. So congratulations, Mike.
Thanks, Mike.
Thank you very much.
All right. Happy Thanksgiving. Appreciate it. Hey, real quick, let's talk about our contest, and we'll get back to Abbott and Costello.
Yes.
We do give away a year's supply of Cat's Pride kitty litter here on the WGN Radio Theater. Cat's Pride, one of our sponsors. And all you have to do is send us a picture of your kitty cat along with, that's him right there.
That's your kitty cat.
Yeah. Send a picture of your kitty with you. It'd be great if you're holding the kitty. Send it in to us at catspridephoto@gmail.com. Catspridephoto@gmail.com along with a cat's name, your name, city and state. We'll enter you into our contest and you will have a chance to win a full year's supply of Cat's Pride kitty litter because the CEO of the company, Dan Jaffe, comes in here once a month and selects a winner.
Right, and we will be...
doing that one next week?
Doing that next week here on the WGN Radio
next week,
Theater.
That's right. Wow, very
next
cool.
Next Sunday.
All right, let's get back to this Thanksgiving show on Abbott and Costello, November 25th, 1943. Jane Wyman is their guest. You'll hear her right now. And then a little later, Mel Blanc appears as Bugs Bunny. This is on NBC, part two, the conclusion of the Abbott and Costello show.
You're just the fellow I'm looking for, too, Costello. Do you know that your turkey ruined my entire victory garden? She just ate up my whole bed of radishes, and that will cost you
$100. $100 for radishes?
Yes.
That's about $4 a burp.
Look, you
See, Costello, I told you that turkey would cause trouble, didn't I?
Oh, yes, we are going great. Look, Miss Wyman, or Jane, Ingrid didn't mean it. You know, today's Thanksgiving. Let's forgive and forget. I mean, after all, it's all water under the bridge.
Water under what bridge?
What do you mean, under what bridge? How do I know what bridge?
Then how do you know there's water under it?
There's got to be water under it so the boats can go up and down.
Why do they have to go up and down? Why can't they go across?
All right, Smarty, let them go across.
Well, wait a minute. What happens to the boats that want to go up and down?
Let them take an elevator. I'm a sucker to get into these arguments anyway.
Well, why did you start it?
Look, I didn't start nothing. I was just saying something that was... It's really used as a figure of speech, like something like Gone with the Wind.
What wind?
What do you mean, what wind?
Well, there's the east wind, the west wind, the south wind, the north wind.
Any wind. Go ahead, pick out one and that's it.
That's immaterial to me.
All right, the immaterial wind.
Just a minute. Now, just a minute. Do you know what wind is?
Yeah, sure. Wind is something that goes like this.
I mean, without onions.
Look, Costello, did you ever see wind? No. Did you ever touch wind? No. Then where does it come from? Where does it go? What is wind?
I don't know what it is, but whatever it is, brother, you're full of it.
Costello, please, how do you know so much?
Well, because I read, stupid.
Yes, and you talk, stupid.
Why do you two have to pick on me?
Why do you keep saying silly things like gone with the wind?
I told you before, it's an old expression like never the twain shall meet.
What twain?
What twain? The twain on twack three. Now you got me talking baby talk.
Then why don't you make yourself clear?
Look, Abbott, what's the use of talking to you people? It's just like pouring water on a duck's back.
Why did you do that?
Do what?
Pour water on a duck's back.
Yes, what did the duck ever do to you?
Look, the duck never did nothing to me. I mean, let's talk turkey.
Why should I talk turkey? I don't like turkey.
Yeah, who are you to make people eat turkey if they don't like turkey?
Look, Miss Wyman, I don't want you to eat turkey if you don't want to eat it.
Oh, now you want her to starve to death.
All right, let her eat turkey. Go on, eat turkey, Miss Wyman. You don't stuff yourself, you glutton.
Oh, that's fine. Now he wants me to get indigestion.
Okay, I'm sorry. I didn't mean it. I'm sorry I brought it up. It's all my fault anyway. I am willing to eat humble pie.
Oh, you're eating pie. You didn't offer us any pie.
Abbott, if I had a pie, I'd let you have it.
You would?
Yeah, right in the puss. Now, if you keep this up, I'm going to walk out of here now. Now, there's more way to skin a cat.
When did you start that sort of thing?
Start what sort of thing?
Skinning cats.
That's the last straw, kids. I've had enough of this. I'm taking my Ingrid home. Come on, sweetheart. Come on. There goes another $4 worth of radishes.
Costello, you're driving me crazy. That turkey is nothing but a troublesome nuisance, a disgrace to the neighborhood. That turkey is a malicious pest.
Sir, you are speaking of the woman I love.
Why, Lou Costello, do you mean that you prefer that turkey to me?
Well, yes.
What? You prefer a turkey to a lovely, charming, gorgeous girl like Jane Wyman?
It must be the little Abner in me. I mean, after all, you folks don't understand what Ingrid means to me, Jane. Every minute of the day, I can hear her calling to me.
But I'll make you forget your turkey. Here, let me put my arms around you, like this.
I can still hear my turkey calling.
And maybe I'll put my cheek next to yours, like this.
I can still hear my turkey calling.
And now, I kiss you tenderly. Now, can you still hear your turkey calling?
My, how quiet the turkey is tonight.
Oh, get out of here!
Connie Haynes sings the bright new rhythm tune, Shoo Shoo Baby.
You've seen him up and down the avenue, and now he's wearing the navy blue. She had a tear in the corner of her eye as he said his last goodbye. Shoo, 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 baby. Shoo, 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 baby. Bye, 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 baby. Your papa off to the seven seas. Don't cry, baby. Don't sigh, baby. Bye, 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 baby. When I come back, we'll live a life of ease. Seems kind of tough now to say goodbye this way. Papa's gotta be rough now, so he can be sweet to you another day. Shoo, 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 baby. Don't cry, baby. Bye, 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 baby. Your papa's off to the seven seas. Don't cry, don't sigh. Baby's here waiting for her papa. Don't cry, don't sigh. It seems nothing will ever stop her. Shoo, 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 my baby. Shoo, 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 my baby. Shoo, 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 my baby. Your papa's off to the seven
All right, what's the matter? Wait a minute, take it easy.
Am I out of breath?
What's the matter? What happened?
My little turkey. My little turkey.
What's the matter?
My Ingrid.
What?
Gone again.
Oh, that's it.
My Ingrid.
All right. I don't know what to say.
My Ingrid has gone again.
I wish I could comfort you.
You cannot.
How?
Kiss me.
Oh, shut up. Now, come on. Get back, Gloria.
I'll answer it. Hello?
What's up, Doc? What's cooking, Hammerhead?
Oh, it's Bugs Bunny.
Hey, Doc, I'm calling you from the drugstore.
Look, I can't hear you, Bugs. Get closer to the phone.
I can't.
Why not?
The drugstore's closed.
Look, I ain't got no time to talk to you now, Bugs. I lost my turkey.
Hey, was it red and green?
Yeah.
And with brown feathers,
that's it.
Beautiful black eyes,
yep,
and a cute little turned-up beak?
Yeah, that's it. Have you seen it?
No.
Then what did you call me for? You haven't got my turkey.
No, Doc, but I got you a goat.
Get out of here, will you, Bugs?
Oh, stop wasting time, Costello. If you want to find your turkey, let's call a cop. Come on.
Okay.
Come on. Help,
please. Help, please. Oh,
help.
Copper.
All right.
Hey, copper.
All right, I'm
coming. Oh, policeman. Are you a cop?
Yes. Why, of course I am.
Call me a policeman.
Now, listen, no remarks, please.
Hey, policeman.
Now, look here. I'm a cop, and my name's O'Rourke. Did I hear someone yelling for help?
Yes, officer. I'm Bud Abbott. We have a turkey missing from our backyard. We were raising it.
Oh, I see you're raising some nice fat hogs, too.
Take that club out of my stomach.
All right, shut up, please. Let's start looking for your turkey, please. Where do you want to go first? Come on.
I'm going to start at Jane Wyman's house.
Jane Wyman? The movie star? The cute little number with the trim little package with the gorgeous little babe with
the dame, and stop drooling.
Well, stop arguing. Here we are. Knock on the door.
Well?
Is your husband home?
I haven't got a husband.
Oh, darn it. I always make that mistake.
Used to be a nice man. Look, Miss Wyman, how come it took you so long to come to the door? What were you doing, hiding my turkey?
Well, if you must know, you caught me in an awkward moment. I was frying a couple of eggs in my kimono.
That's very funny. My mother always uses a frying pan.
Now, stop that, Costello. You'll have to forgive him, Miss Wyman. I suppose you think he's a perfect idiot.
Oh, no, none of us are perfect.
Well, look, this isn't helping us find the turkey. What do you suggest, O'Rourke?
Well, now, that's easy. The three of you take one side of the street, and I'll take the other side. We'll make a house-to-house canvas. Put your faith in Patrick O'Rourke, and I'll find your turkey.
Why, you couldn't find a drunk skunk in a trunk.
Could you?
I could if the wind was right.
Oh, come on, let's go.
What is it?
Well, I'm Jane Wyman, and this is Bud Abbott, the party who lives across the street, and this is Lou Costello, the party who lives next door. Now, this third party claims that I, the first party, took his turkey, so all three parties decided to call on you.
Not interested. Too many parties already.
Open the door, lady. I'm looking for a turkey.
Oh, I can't come to the door. I'm not fully dressed.
Yes, you are.
No, I'm not.
Yes, you are.
No, I'm not.
Are you trying to make a liar out of this keyhole?
Oh, Costello, this is a waste of time. You'll never find Ingrid.
Yes, and I've got to get home. I have a turkey cooking in a pot.
Hey, but think of me. I haven't got a turkey.
No, but you've got a pot.
Now, wait a minute. I'm not... Hey, did you hear that? Hey, Abbott. It's Ingrid. My Ingrid. And she's in this house.
Well, come on, let's get her.
Good. Open up in there. Open the door.
How do you do, everybody?
It's Officer O'Rourke.
Look, what did you do to my turkey, O'Rourke? It's nothing but skin and bones.
Put me down. I'm Mrs. O'Rourke.
Excuse me, lady. The feathers on your chin fooled me.
Look, Costello, there's Ingrid out in O'Rourke's yard with another turkey.
Well, Costello, I've got quite a shock for you. Your Ingrid and my Tom were married this afternoon at the little coop around the corner.
Ingrid is married?
I'll have it enough! Ingrid, come here, Ingrid. Come here, tell me everything. I'll understand. Tell me it ain't so. You mean you prefer Tom to me? But Ingrid, can he support you? Ingrid, how does he stand in a draft? Well, all right then, Ingrid. That settles it.
Wait, settles what?
Lou, what'd she say?
What are you asking me for? I'm no turkey.
Oh, come on home. Good night, folks.
Good night, folks. Good night, everybody. Good night, everybody at the Lone Pond.
There you have it. The Abbott and Costello Show, November 25th, 1943. Thanksgiving program. Bud Abbott and Lou Costello, of course, they were famously known for the Who's On First routine. You know, when I was a kid, Lisa Wolf, many, many moons ago, my friend Vince Lombardi and I used to do the Who's On First routine. We used to do it for convalescent homes and for contests and things. We had it completely memorized. Did you know that?
Yes, I did,
you
actually.
Didn't know that.
You told me that. I know everything about
we
you.
We were like, I was Costello and he was Abbott. And we had it. We won a lot of contests.
I would love to see that reprise.
Yeah, I would. I wish we had a videotape of it.
How many times did you actually perform that?
A lot of times. We used to do it all over. We used to do it for convalescent homes all over. Yeah, and for contests. About two or three times.
At least once.
Did you win anything good?
Yeah, we won prizes. I don't remember what the prizes were, but. It was a long time ago.
It was like some crackers.
It was like 125 years ago when we were kids. All right, let's take a break. Then it's more here on the WGN Radio Theater. All right, this is hour two of 3 hours of the WGN Radio Theater. And it is Monday morning, 7 minutes after the midnight hour, Lisa.
Yes.
Lisa Wolf, my co-host here to the right of me. And then Mike Estella directly in front of me, the executive producer of the show, and Dan Long, our producer. I have the best team in the whole business,
the whole radio business.
And Mike, remind our listeners about Facebook and about our website, would you?
Well, you can log on to Facebook and like us at WGN Radio Theater. We're taking anything that you want to hear, basically, as far as old-time radio goes. And I think we have almost everything that's out there.
Yeah, pretty much.
Pretty much. So we did have a request for a bunch of comedies. And fortunately, tonight, actually, it seems like everything is a comedy.
Mm-hmm.
So that's pretty cool.
Thanksgiving comedy shows.
Yep, we got that in the lineup. We also have a Twitter page at WGN Radio Theater. And we also have a... Ooh, not quite updated Instagram page as well.
Yeah. Well, we have a website, too. WGNRadioTheater.com. I know that because I go there all the time. But I don't know how to do Facebook or Twitter. One of these days, you guys got to show me how to do that.
Sure. And then you could do all the work.
Yeah.
That would be great.
I think that's why I haven't learned it. I don't want to do it.
You don't want to deal with it.
No.
You have us.
Social media is pretty wild because you got to constantly... keep updated with it.
Yeah.
Too much for Carl.
So much information.
I'd rather sleep. I would just rather take a nap. You know,
I like a nap.
You know, I like listening to the old time radio shows and nap.
Although you do a good job in keeping up your MySpace page.
Yeah. Yeah, I do have that. I mean, yeah, that's it's important to me. And my BlackBerry over here. I got my BlackBerry and my typewriter.
Right.
What are we doing? We're doing Jack Benny this hour. But before we do that, it's time for our sponsor segment.
It's time for Celebrity Scoop. Brought to you by Cat's Pride. Meow.
This superstar writes, directs, and stars in the upcoming film Live by Night, which is set in the Prohibition era and examines the world of organized crime.
All right, we need you to name this celebrity. So here's a hint. He starred in a 2006 biography drama called Hollywoodland.
Well, if you did shoot me, and the bullet bounced off it, it might accidentally hit someone else. We don't want that to happen, do we?
No.
All right. If you know who this celebrity is for our Celebrity Scoop segment, call us 312-981-7200, 312-981-7200. Call right now. You'll win, if you get on the air, a $25 gift card for 800 Degrees Neapolitan Pizza in Evanston. And call right now. We'll find our winner after this break.
And this is the WGN Radio Theater. We are playing some awesome music tonight, and we are also playing Celebrity Scoop, and let's hear that movie clip again.
Well, if you did shoot me, and the bullet bounced off it, it might accidentally hit someone else. We don't want that to happen, do we?
No.
And we have Pat on the line from LaGrange. Hey, Pat.
Hi.
Hi.
It's Ben Affleck.
You are right. It is Ben Affleck, and he will be writing and directing and starring in Live by Night, which is coming out soon, and you are a winner. We have a great $25 gift card for you from 800 Degrees Neapolitan Pizza. It's right downtown Evanston on Church Street, and you can build your own pizza. You can choose from one of their combinations. You can visit them at 800degrees.com, and each personal pizza is baked in about 1 minute in an 800-degree wood-burning oven. So does that sound delicious or what, Pat?
Yeah, it does.
It does. It sounds pretty darn good right now, so I hope you enjoy that. And I tasted it, and I loved it, so I hope you will too.
All right. Thank you.
Thanks,
Pat.
Happy Thanksgiving. We gotta have some turkey here on Thanksgiving. We're going to be here
right.
At WGN on Thanksgiving,
7:30. I'm thinking dessert. You're thinking turkey.
I'll be still hungry by that
really?
Time. Yeah, I'll eat, and then I'll want to eat again.
Yeah, 7:30 to 10 on Thanksgiving. You can have a little turkey or a little...
Yeah, folks out there on Thanksgiving, when you're eating your turkey bird, right?
Well, not everybody eats a turkey bird.
Well, whatever. Whatever you're having on Thanksgiving, tune in to WGN Radio because Lisa and I, Mike's not going to be here.
He's going to desert us,
is what I'm saying.
Yeah.
Sorry,
well,
guys.
It won't be as good without you, but
I said AOL instead of AWOL. Sorry.
Yeah, AOL. You're going to be on AOL. He's at AOL.com still, Mike.
Yep, apparently.
I'm losing it. I really am. Losing it. But Dan Long will be here, and we'll be playing some more Thanksgiving shows for you. We'll be here from 7:30 till 10
right.
on Thursday.
If you're here, I'm here. So
yeah,
that's
sounds
how
good.
It works.
All right. This movie clip we played with Ben Affleck,
yes.
Hollywoodland, what a
yes.
terrific movie that was. It was all about George Reeves, who they think may have committed suicide. Maybe he was murdered, whatever. He played Superman on television.
Right.
And I got to tell you, Ben Affleck did an amazing job playing George Reeves on that.
He's an amazing actor.
Yeah, it's a great, great movie. Check it out. Okay, it's time for another Thanksgiving program. We're going to go back to 1939. And this is from November 19th. Jack Benny and all his gang, including Mary Livingston, Phil Harris, Dennis Day, Verna Felton, Eddie Rochester Anderson, Don Wilson, sponsored by Jell-O. And Mary reads a Thanksgiving Day poem on this, and Jack is planning a Thanksgiving party for his friends with an ostrich. Did you know that?
An ostrich.
Yeah, that's what this show is all about. All right, here's part one now of the Thanksgiving program on the Jack Benny Show.
J-E-L-L-O.
The Jell-O program, starring Jack Benny with Mary Livingston, Phil Harris, Dennis Day, and yours truly, Don Wilson. The orchestra opens a program with It's a Whole New Thing.
Hey,
That was It's a Whole New Thing, played by Phil Harris and his orchestra. And now, ladies and gentlemen, once again we bring you our master of ceremonies, that bubbling personality, that effervescent comedian, that fizz, Jack Benny.
Hello again. This is Jack Benny, the carbonated kid, talking. And, Don, I like that introduction. It fits me to a T. I am bubbling and effervescent. The fizz you can have back.
Well, Jack, let me explain. When I called you a fizz, it was really a compliment. I meant you were physical.
Mm-hmm.
You know, fizz for short.
I understand, Don, perfectly. In other words, if you called me a mug, you'd really mean I was magnificent. Is that it?
Exactly.
Well, Don, if you think I fell for that, you're a fathead, and that's short for your whole body. Anyway, Don, let's not get into a routine, because I know how you appreciate a good story. And I heard a gag a few minutes ago that will positively put every one of your chins in motion. Oh, it's a honey.
It's a good one, huh?
Well, Virgil, the sound man, told it to me, and you know what a clown he is. Get this, Don. Don, I haven't even told you the story yet. What are you laughing at?
Is it the one about the nearsighted old maid that buried the midget?
No, heavens, no, Don. Heavens, not that one. This is a brand new story. Get this. There was a fellow walking down the street, and he was leading a pink alligator on a leash, when all of a sudden it started to act up and snap at him.
Uh-huh.
So the guy got annoyed, turned around to this pink alligator and said, "You better behave yourself or I'll take a bromo seltzer and that'll be the end of you." isn't that terrific, Don?
Oh, it sure is. That Virgil has a great sense of humor.
Yes, gee, that was a funny story, Mr. Benny.
Oh, Dennis, I didn't see it. Did you like it?
Yeah, but there's one thing that puzzles me.
What?
If the man was walking down the street, where did he get the bromo seltzer?
Well, I don't know. He probably had a box of it in his pocket.
Oh, then I guess he had a glass of water in his other pocket.
Yes, Dennis, and a banjo on his knee. Now, don't worry about it. Say, you're here kind of early tonight, Dennis. Where's your mother?
She's across the street in the bowling alley.
In the bowling alley? Well, with her legs, she better watch out. Anyway, Dennis, I'm glad you're here on time tonight, and I'll try and make a habit of it.
You know, Jack, I can't get over that story you told me. It's silly, but I get a great kick out of it.
Isn't it ridiculous? Yeah. Oh, hello, Mary.
Hello, Jack. What's so funny?
Mary, I must tell you. Did you hear the story about the fellow that was walking down the street leading a pink alligator on a leash?
Is that the one when the man said, "I'll take a bromo seltzer and that'll be the end of you"?
Yes.
No, tell it to me.
Well, this guy was... Wait, you just told me the answer. I thought you said you never heard it.
Oh, stop, Jack. That's one of the oldest jokes in the world.
Mary, jokes happen to be my business. And if that was the oldest joke in the world, I'd be the first one to know it.
Should I let him have it, folks?
Never mind. Do me a favor, will you, Mary? Go out and come back in again.
Well, gee, Jack, as long as you're telling jokes, why don't you tell a good one? I heard a gag last night that was terrific.
Oh, you did, eh?
Yeah. A man walked into the house and said to his wife, "It's raining cats and dogs outside."
Uh-huh.
And she said, "How do you know?"
Mm-hmm.
And he said, I just stepped in a poodle.
I know where you heard that, Mary, at the Wilshire Bowl. Phil Harris has been husking that for 3 years. That's his theme joke. You know, Don, Phil's idea of humor is really pitiful.
Oh, I don't know about that, Jack. I was at the bowl one night, and the people screamed at him.
Sure they scream at him. Every time he finishes a gag, he has a waiter throw a custard pie in his face. That's why.
I didn't see anybody do that.
Oh, well, you must have been their bucket of water night. That's his idea of changing material.
Well, I'll say one thing about Phil. He sure attracts the young collegiate crowd. All the college boys go there.
They have to go there, Mary. That's part of their initiation. Before they can join a fraternity, they have to either listen to Harris or sleep all night in a graveyard.
In a graveyard?
Yes, and you'll be surprised at the number of kids around here that aren't afraid of ghosts. Yes, sir.
You know, Jack, Phil sure believes in that college spirit. Look at that sign on the bass drum.
Oh, yeah. Phil Harris and his collegians. Look, he spells collegians with one L.
Well, he spells Phil with two, so it's all even.
You know, Mary, sometimes I think that Phil...
Jiggers, here he comes now.
Don't jiggers me. Now, hello, Phil.
Hiya, Jackson. What's going on?
Well, to tell the truth, Phil, for the last 5 minutes, we've been talking about you.
Well, a little buildup ain't ever hurt nobody.
No, fella, never done you no good either. Your grammar's worse than Abe Lyman's, and he never got beyond blocks. Well, who cares about grammar? I got other things to worry about. Oh, I can imagine. Say, Phil, I noticed that new sign you got on the bass drum. What happened to that corny painting you used to have there?
Corny?
Yeah, you know, the one with the yellow moon and the green river and the purple trees. Remember that one, Mary?
Yeah, he used to call it Dipsy Doodle by Rembrandt.
That's the one. Whatever happened to that painting, Phil?
I sold it to the Metropolitan Museum in New York.
You mean the Museum of Fine Arts?
I don't know what they got there, but that's the joint that bought it.
Phil, are you crazy?
Crazy nothing. Someday that picture will be hanging in Paris, right next to the Mona Lulu.
Well, I'm not going to even bother to correct that. How do you like that, Mary? The most famous painting of a woman in the world, and Phil doesn't even know her name.
If she were alive, he'd know her name and phone number.
And her address and what she's doing on Friday night. Well, I got myself on a detour for no reason at all. And besides...
Say, Jack, why don't you tell Phil that story the sound man told you? He'll get a kick out of it.
Oh, he wouldn't even get it.
Come on, Jackson, what is it? Let's hear it.
All right, Phil, do you know the one about the fellow who was walking down the street and his pink alligator snapped at him?
Know it. I'm the guy that drank the bromo.
There you are, fellas. He's always got a brilliant comeback, even if he has to make a bum out of himself. Oh, Dennis?
Yes, please?
How about a song before we get involved again?
Okay, Mr. Benny. I'm going to sing an old favorite by Stephen Foster called Genie with the Light Brown Hair.
Oh, that's swell, Dennis. I love those old songs.
Old songs, old gags. What this program needs is glands.
Mary, you just attend to your own little knitting. I'll handle the show. Sing, Dennis, the guy that drank the bromo.
I dream of Jeannie with a light brown hair, born like a vapor on the golden air. I see her tripping where the bright streams play, happy as the daisies along her way. Many are the wild notes a merry voice would pour, many are the blithe birds that warble them all. Oh, I dream of Jeannie with the light brown hair, floating by summer air. I long for Jeannie with the day dawn smile, radiant with gladness, warm with winning guile. I hear her melody, warm as the sunlight from heaven above. Many are the fond notes a merry voice would call, echoed by the birds in the grove o'er and o'er. I sigh for Jeannie with a light brown hair, floating like a vapor on the soft
And that's the tenor tones of Dennis Day right there, Lisa, on the Jack Benny program. November 19th, 1939, an ostrich for Thanksgiving with Jack Benny and all his gang, sponsored by Jell-O. We'll get back to that in just a few minutes. What was his announcer's name? Jack Benny's announcer, do you know?
Oh, I do.
Don.
Yeah.
Will. Mm-hmm. Son.
Right.
Got it? Oh,
right.
Roger knew it. Roger knows it. Don Wilson was his longtime announcer. He was his announcer on his television show as well, and we'll get back to Jack Benny in just a few minutes. I want to remind our listeners that we have an amazing website for this program, the WGN Radio Theater. It has our full schedule on there. You'll always know what we're going to play each week. Just go to WGNRadioTheater.com, and if you click through to the main website, on the main website, there is a store where you can purchase these classic radio shows, many, you know, hundreds and hundreds of shows available for digital download, or you can buy them on CD. And I know Lisa is buys a lot of them for her family and friends. Right,
well,
Lisa?
That's
you get a special discount,
that's
too.
Because you're not so generous, Carl.
You have to. You only pay double what anybody else
that's
pays.
That's right. I get a great deal.
Yes, you do. And so what are we doing for Thanksgiving? Mike, what are you doing this Thanksgiving? Your first Thanksgiving as a married man.
Yeah, we're going to Denise's parents' house by day. And then we will be at my parents' house at night.
All right. So, and Lisa didn't invite me for Thanksgiving.
As a matter of fact, I did.
Yeah.
Just
it was like an offhanded, you know, hey, what are you doing? If you're not doing anything, come on over.
Well, that's a pretty darn good invitation.
I appreciate it. All right, we have to take a break, and then it's more here on the WGN Radio Theater. Thank you, Esmeralda. It is time to dance. That's what it is. It's time to do a little disco dancing, right?
Do you know what this song?
This is what we do here on the WGN Radio Theater. We dance. It is, what is this? What's the name of the song?
This is Fame, right?
Fame.
Yeah, I remember that. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Very good. I like the... You should probably think about a career in singing.
In singing?
Yeah.
Well, I actually had one for about 15 years, so
really?
What can I tell you?
What haven't you done, Lisa?
I don't know, Carl. Been around the world a few times.
Yes, you've been. It is 12:34 in the morning. We're having some fun, playing some Thanksgiving programs. We're in the middle of a Jack Benny Thanksgiving program from 1939. We'll get back to it in just a few moments. In our third hour, we're going to tune into a Thanksgiving program on the Great Gildersleeve. That's what we do here on the WGN Radio Theater. Every Sunday night from 11 p.m. until 2 in the morning, Monday morning, we have 3 hours and we play three classic radio shows. And I hope you will tell a friend and that you'll continue to join us. Now, one of our sponsors is Cat's Pride, which puts out the best kitty litter in the world. And the CEO of Cat's Pride comes in here once a month and gives away a year's supply of Cat's Pride kitty litter to one of our lucky winners. And to join the whole deal and to try to win some Cat's Pride kitty litter, all you have to do is send in a photo of you and your cat. Right, Lisa?
Right, with your name, your cat's name, city, and state to catspridephoto@gmail.com. And we're going to be doing this every single month. So, you know, just keep sending in the pictures and we'll keep hoping that you'll be a winner.
Right, and the first winner of this contest, which was about 2 months ago, is in the studio with us. His name is Michelle Maines. Michelle, it's great to have you on the show, and congratulations on winning a year's supply of Cat's Pride kitty litter.
Thank you once again.
And so what's your name of your cat?
Shoddick.
Shoddick?
Shoddick.
Shoddick. And so is he enjoying Cat's Pride kitty litter?
Very much so.
You know what, Michelle? Tell us what you think about Cat's Pride. Why is it a great kitty litter for you?
I've noticed there's a lot. There's no dust. There used to be a lot of dust with the other brand that I used to use that I won't be using anymore since I'll be using Cat's Pride from now on.
Very good. So you didn't use Cat's Pride prior, but then you got a year's supply and now you're liking it more?
Absolutely.
And I'm sure your cat enjoys it as well.
Very much so. Shoddick and our other cat, Max.
Oh, you have two cats.
And the great thing about Cat's Pride is there's a new product called Fresh and Light, and it's half the weight.
Yeah, it's the lightweight ultimate care.
And is that what you're getting with the coupon? They sent you a year's supply of coupons.
Yes. Fortunately, I can actually choose from many varieties that they actually do have.
and you're not getting any dust, and it's none
whatsoever. I used to actually notice a lot of just around where we would use it, and just haven't noticed any whatsoever. There's no mess. It's very, very nice scented. It's
what about its scoopability?
Scoopability is very good. It's actually very, very powerful. The other ones didn't really do the same. It was just a very, very good product.
Well, excellent. Well, we appreciate you coming down and talking about and being a winner, and congratulations. And we're going to find a winner every single month here on the WGN Radio Theater. If you would like to take a shot at winning a year's supply of Cat's Pride Kitty Litter, do as Michelle Maines did. He sent in a picture of his cat. And a picture, I think you were in the picture as well, right?
Yes, I was.
And Dan Jaffe does a random drawing once a month, and someone wins the contest.
Yeah, it's a great prize, and we get to promote the kitty litter, and we get to promote the person that wins, so everybody wins here.
All right, so send it in, a picture of you and your cat, along with your name and address, and city and state, sorry.
Yeah, we don't
name
need
and city
address.
And state, and just email it to us here at catspridephoto@gmail.com.
Yep.
All right, really good. All right, it's time to get back to the Jack Benny Thanksgiving program.
That was I Dream of Jeannie with the light brown hair sung by Dennis Day. And Dennis, those old songs always do something to me. I love them.
Me too.
Jeannie with the light brown hair. What a grand title. You know, Dennis, I used to have light brown hair myself.
You did?
Yep, brown hair.
Why, Jack, from the pictures I've seen of you, I thought you had black hair.
No, Don, it was brown, sort of a russet brown. No, just like the leaves in autumn.
Well, rake them up and let's get on with the show.
Mary, I wish you'd stop with those interruptions. Anyway, Dennis, I noticed another thing. Your singing seems to improve every week. You're gaining poise and confidence.
Well, thanks, Mr. Benny.
Just think, this is your seventh week on my program.
7 weeks? Gee.
Yes, sir.
Am I going to get paid pretty soon?
Pretty soon, Dennis. And now, ladies and gentlemen, tonight we are going to...
Hey, Jackson, why don't you pay the kid?
Phil, I intend to pay him. I'm merely holding his salary until he's a little older. I'm teaching Dennis how to save money.
Well, he's learning from the top man.
Thanks, Miss Livingston. And if I were you, I wouldn't say another word unless you rube it up on the Lum and Abner program. And now, ladies and gentlemen, tonight we are going to...
Oh, here you are, Dennis. Did you sing your song yet?
Yes, Mother.
Well, good evening, Mrs. Day.
Good evening.
Oh, Mother, you should have been here a few minutes ago. Mr. Benny told the funniest joke.
It was rather good. Tell it to her, Dennis.
Well, Mr. Benny was walking down the street leading a pink alligator.
Oh, stewed, eh?
Stewed, it wasn't me, Mrs. Day. Dennis got the story all wrong. I never touch a drop of liquor.
Then why have you got that red nose?
Because I'm a comedian. What do you think? My tie lights up, too. This story, Mrs. Day, is about a man who takes a bromo seltzer and gets rid of a pink alligator.
What's funny about that?
Nothing. It's very sad. I'm crying like anything. Oh, what a dame.
What's that?
I said, oh, what a game. I saw UCLA play Santa Clara yesterday. It was thrilling. And now, ladies and gentlemen, if you will please forgive my outburst, as I started to announce, tonight we are going to offer an original little playlet all about Thanksgiving, written especially for the occasion by Mary Livingston. Mary, let me have it, will you?
Oh, Jack, I forgot to tell you.
What?
I changed my mind about a Thanksgiving play, and I wrote a poem instead.
A poem?
Hey, Mary, you mean to say we're not going to do a Thanksgiving play?
No.
Gee, and I was all set to be one of them pilgrims.
Oh, fine. You'd make a great pilgrim, Phil.
Well, I would. Listen, buddy, my ancestors came over on the Mayflower.
Oh, did a Doc and Dixie? I thought your family always lived in Tennessee.
Not originally. You see, we migrated from Massachusetts.
Migrated? You don't by any chance mean you migrated.
All right, we moved. Forget it.
Migrated. Did you hear that, Mary?
Yeah, he put in an extra syllable in it.
You're not palooling. No.
Ladies and gentlemen, before we get out of the mood, let me say a few words about Jalello.
Jalello.
It is economical, easy to make, and comes in six delicious flavors. So look for the big red letters on the barat.
Thanks, Don. You surveyed the day. And now, ladies and gentlemen, as we have no Thanksgiving play...
Mary Livingston's going to read a Thanksgiving poem.
Oh, no, nothing doing.
Oh, gee, it's swell, Jack.
I don't care. You're not going to read it.
Jack, Benny, you let me read this poem or I won't buy my Christmas cards from you this year.
All right, a lot I make on the ones you get. You don't even have your name printed on them. Now go ahead with your poem.
Okay.
What's the title of it?
The title is Thanksgiving. You're a little mixed up, aren't you, kid?
Well, that fits. Go ahead.
Oh, Thanksgiving. Oh, Thanksgiving. You are with us twice this year. With your pumpkin pie and dressing, and your turkey, front and rear.
That's the part I always get.
The pilgrims planned in days of yore that you'd come once, not anymore. But now you are a double feature, and we don't know which day to greet you.
Greet you?
That's what I said, you gorgeous creature.
Now, don't be funny. Go ahead with the poem.
Suppose we had two everything, two New Year's Eves to laugh and sing, two Christmases, two Labor Days, and two Jack Bennies with two toupees.
Mary, you're too pressing. Are you through?
No, but I'm coming into the stretch.
Oh.
So Thanksgiving, I don't mind.
Well.
If you're a week before or a week behind.
Mm.
What's the difference? What the heck? The turkey's the guy that gets it in the neck. The end.
Very good. Mary, that was silly, but you came through with flying colors. And now, Phil, how about a number to kind of break things up here?
Okay, Jackson, what do you want us to play? Anything special?
Well?
You name it, and we'll play it.
All right, how about that number you rehearsed all morning? You know, the only one you can possibly play.
Oh, okay. Hit it, boys.
He asked for a request yet. Hold it a minute, Phil. Come in.
Mr. Benny?
Yes?
Are you a little mixed up on account of the two Thanksgivings this year?
Yes, I am. Why?
I was in a fog when we only had one. Goodbye.
He's not kidding, folks. He's got his shoes on backwards. Now, fellas, as I started to say a little while ago, and before I forget it, Thursday being Thanksgiving, I want all of you to come over to my house for a real old-fashioned turkey dinner. How about it?
Oh, that's great, Jack. Well, we'll be there
and
with
Dennis, Dennis, this invitation goes for you also.
His mother, too?
Yes, Mrs. Day, my party wouldn't be complete without you.
You don't sound very sincere about it.
Well, what do you want me to do, send you a mash note? Glad to have you. The more, the merrier. Good heavens.
Say, Jack, is this party going to be like the one you gave last Thanksgiving?
What do you mean?
I mean, is the turkey going to be leg of lamb?
Don't worry about that, Mary. This is going to be a real dinner. I've got the biggest, fattest, juiciest turkey you ever saw.
Where'd you run over it?
I didn't run over it. It's a live turkey. I got it in my garage right now. It's roosting on my Maxwell.
That's all that car needs.
Now you wait till you see that bird. I bet it weighs 65 pounds.
65 pounds? Why, Jack, you must be mistaken about that.
Oh, no, I'm not, Don. I had it on the scales. It's an enormous thing.
65 pounds? Are you kidding?
I'm not kidding. Wait till next Thursday and you'll see for yourself. It's going to be a swell party.
How many people are you expecting, Jack?
Well, there'll be our gang, and then I invited Clark Gable and Carol Lombard, Bob Taylor and Barbara Stanwyck, Tyrone Power and Annabella.
Oh, Jack, you always ask them to every party you give, and they never show up.
Well?
Why don't you stop inviting them?
I can't stop now. They'll think I'm mad at them. You know how it is.
How can they be mad at you when they don't even know them?
I don't even know them? Listen, Phil, I know every one of those stars personally.
Sure, Jack sells them their Christmas cards.
Mary, will you stop harping on that? The only reason you ever got cards from me is because I happen to have some left over.
Every year.
Oh, quiet. Now, don't forget, fellas, Thursday night at my house.
Oh, okay. We'll be there, Jack. You know that.
Boy, we're going to have a big turkey and cranberry sauce and mashed potatoes. And, Don, guess what kind of Jell-O we're going to have for dessert?
Strawberry?
No.
Raspberry?
No.
Cherry?
No.
Orange?
No.
Lemon?
No. Give up?
Yes.
Lie. You see, Don, you almost had it.
There's a kindergarten commercial if I ever heard one.
Never mind, that's what we're going to have. Now look, kids, if I don't see you again before Thanksgiving, be sure and be at my house by 7 o'clock sharp. And don't eat a big lunch so you'll really enjoy the turkey. I'll take it. Hello?
Hello, Mr. Benny, this is Rochester.
All right, what do you want?
Well, boss, I just heard you talking about a big Thanksgiving party Thursday night. That's my night off.
I'm sorry, Rochester, but you'll have to work. You can take a day off some other time.
I can get my twin brother to take my place.
I don't want your twin brother.
Well, he looks just like me.
I don't care if he does. I want you to be at my house on Thursday night.
How about me in spirit and my brother in person?
Rochester, don't try any tricks. I can tell the difference between you and your twin brother.
That's more than his gal can.
Never mind. Now, look, Rochester, I want you to get that turkey up to 70 pounds by Thanksgiving, so go out in the garage and feed it.
I'm working on the Christmas cards.
They can wait. Now, go out in the garage and feed the turkey.
Okay. Oh, say, boss, I meant to ask you something about that bird. Are you sure it's a turkey?
What do you mean, am I sure it's a turkey?
Well, I went out in the garage a few minutes ago, and she laid an egg as big as a cantaloupe.
As big as a cantaloupe? What are you talking about?
Not only that, but every time I go in there, she sticks her head in a bucket of sand.
What?
Boss, you bought an ostrich.
I bought an ostrich?
That's right. She just ate the headlights off your car.
The headlights? How do you know?
She had two Adam's apples, and they were going down fast.
It's all your fault, Rochester. You were with me when I went shopping for a turkey. Why did you let me buy an ostrich?
I told you it was a pretty big bird for the money, but you know you.
Well, I guess there's nothing we can do about it now. Isn't that awful? I got a polar bear in the guest room and an ostrich in the garage.
And mice in the pantry. Let's move out.
Now, don't get panicky, Rochester. I'll be home in a few minutes. Meanwhile, call up the market and order a turkey.
Okay.
Goodbye.
Goodbye. Oh, say, boss.
What?
Have you changed your mind about using my twin brother Thursday night?
No, I haven't.
Well, I'll figure out something. Goodbye.
Wait a minute. Rochester. Rochester. Well, I'll be darned.
What's the matter, Jack?
Plenty. That big turkey I bought turned out to be an ostrich.
Oh, boy. You going to be lonesome on Thanksgiving?
I am not. Now, Mary, don't worry. We're going to have a swell dinner. Play, Phil. I wonder if you can eat an ostrich. I don't know.
This year, some folks are celebrating Thanksgiving on the 23rd of the month, others on the 30th. Well, either way, I'd like to offer a suggestion in regard to your holiday menu. For dinner, of course, there'll be plum pudding or pumpkin pie. But later on in the evening, when supper time comes, bring the day's feasting to a fitting close with a truly out-of-the-ordinary dessert, a shimmering dish of golden lemon jello. Now, there's really a luscious-looking dessert, ladies and gentlemen, a grand treat full of the ripe, tingling flavor of juicy lemons fresh from the tree and glowing with the warm color of sunshine. And you can serve it in shapely molds garnished with fruit, nuts, and maraschino cherries. Or it can be sliced into dainty cubes, tumbled into parfait glasses, and topped with snowy whipped cream. Either way, it adds up to a mighty slick dessert that will catch every eye and capture every taste. And that goes for all the rest of Jell-O's six delicious flavors. Strawberry, raspberry, cherry, orange, lemon, and lime. Jell-O, remember, is a light dessert. Just the thing to appeal after a heavy midday meal. And it's quick and easy to make, with, and Mother will appreciate it, after working, cooking a big Thanksgiving dinner. So order genuine Jell-O from your grocer tomorrow.
We'll be with you again next Sunday night at the same time. Now, don't forget, Mary, next Thursday night at my house for a real Thanksgiving dinner.
Count me out, Jack.
Now, wait a minute. I'm not going to serve that ostrich. I'm going to have a turkey.
Oh, you are, eh?
Yes.
Well, if I find a headlight in the dressing, watch out.
Oh, don't worry. Good night, folks, and a happy Thanksgiving.
J-E-L-L-O.
Here's news. Every Tuesday night, the Aldrich family is on the air, starring Ezra Stone as Henry Aldrich, that lovable hard luck kid. Consult your local newspaper or radio guide for time and stations, and be sure to tune in on the Aldrich family next Tuesday night.
Bluebirds in the Moonlight is from Gulliver's Travels. This is the National Broadcasting Company.
There you have it. That is a 1939 Thanksgiving show with Jack Benny and all his gang, going back to an original broadcast date of November 19th, 1939. Phil Harris on that, Mary Livingston, Dennis Day, Verna Felton, Eddie Rochester Anderson, and Don Wilson, his longtime announcer, sponsored by J-E-L-L.
Oh.
Because heard on NBC. You didn't hit the note right.
I did.
You
got to
do like a
oh. That's not the note,
no?
though.
What's the note?
It's a C.
I had it right.
It's
I hit
a
the,
C.
I hit the, showing me your musical abilities
right.
there, which I have none.
I know.
Yeah. I don't know. How do you read a note and then know how to, what, I can't. I could never read. When I had, as a kid, when I was in music class.
Yes.
I never could learn the notes.
I have a perfect pitch. You just
do
have
you?
To just
really?
Name the note.
Wow, really?
Wow. See, another one of my hidden talents.
You're just so amazing.
Oh, I know.
Lisa Wolf.
Gosh darn it.
Woman of a million talents.
Right.
And two master's degrees to my none.
Yeah, but, you know, I share.
What?
We share knowledge with each other.
Yeah.
We do. We do.
Well, you're learning, but see.
See, that's what I'm saying.
I have so
much. We compliment one another.
Old-time radio knowledge in here. I have no room for anything else.
I know.
That's why I need Mike, and I need Dan, and I need you.
Well, at least
to help
you admit
me with
it.
Just life.
Well, you don't need my knowledge. You just need my technical skills.
That's
really.
Right.
Exactly. Mike does all the engineering of the show. He puts. Takes these shows and cleans them up. They sound great. Mike does a great job with that.
He
Lisa,
does.
What do you do?
I don't know. I just kind of sit around and twiddle
really?
My thumbs.
Lisa's like, I call her up. I'm like, are you coming to the radio station? She's like,
I know.
Oh,
I'm in the bathtub.
I got to do the show.
No, I don't say
She's
that.
Like, I'm like, come on. We got 15 minutes. You got to
hey,
get here.
I'm always the first one here.
Really?
Yes.
All right.
Okay.
You say so.
Ready to go.
You say so.
But everybody
so.
On Facebook is Lisa's fan, so.
I know. Everybody loves
she
Lisa.
She has to be here.
I'm nice.
Mike, right?
Right?
Everybody
yeah.
loves
I'm
Lisa.
I'm nice. Just a nice
That's the name
person.
Of a show. Everybody loves
everybody
Lisa.
Everybody loves Lisa.
I like that.
That's a good one, right?
Yeah, it doesn't sound anything like the Raymond one.
No.
Not at all. Very original.
That's a great title.
Very original. Right?
I'm an original gal.
All right. So that was Jack Benny. We're playing all Thanksgiving shows. Isn't this great?
And
this,
all comedies today.
This Thursday is Thanksgiving, and we'll be right back here. We'll be right back here Thanksgiving night, 7:30 to 10. And then I guess Patty Vasquez is coming in right after that, and she's going to do her show. So we're on at 7:30 till 10, right?
Yeah, 7:30 to 10, and we are sandwiched in between a Bears pre- and post-game, so...
Oh.
The whole Bears crew will be in here, Carmen and Amp and Kaz and OB, breaking down Bears and Packers because that's a 7:30
kick, I think.
They're going
to break that and then go to us and then back to the Bears? Is that how it works?
Yep.
Wow, all right. Well, that's nice.
We're lucky to
that.
Have that slot.
Yeah,
right?
Very cool. Lisa said she's going to bring in some pumpkin pie.
I sure am.
So I'm here or there. Pumpkin pie and classic radio.
That's perfect, right?
And broadcasting on WGN, the legendary WGN. I love it. All right, it is time to give away this
a
Lightkeeper Pro.
Yep.
What is that?
Yeah, it's a tool for repairing holiday light sets
just
in time for the holidays.
Very cool. A Lightkeeper Pro. If you want to win a Lightkeeper Pro, you just call us at 312-981-7200 if you can name this movie. This is a
1984 romance comedy.
Okay, thanks. I lost my place.
It's okay.
I could use all the help I can get.
I know.
1984 right. comedy romance. Name this movie.
I can't believe I gave my panties to a geek.
All right, remember that movie?
I sure do.
312-981-7200. Give us a call. We'll find our winner, and they'll win a Lightkeeper Pro after these words.
This is the WGN Radio Theater. We are playing Name That Movie. Let's hear that movie clip again.
I can't believe I gave my panties to a geek.
And we have Tim on the line from Chicago. Hey, Tim.
Hey, how are you?
I'm great, Tim. Can you name that movie for me?
Absolutely. 16 Candles, one of the greatest comedies ever made.
I couldn't agree with you more, Tim. That is a fantastic movie, a very memorable movie as well. And, of course, it was filmed right here in the North Shore in Highland Park and Evanston and right around here. So that's kind of exciting as well. Well, Tim, you are a winner.
The performances by the young actors are great.
Yes, yes, and they've gone on to do a lot of things. You have won the Lightkeeper Pro, and I went online and I watched the video. Yay! Go to lightkeeperpro.com, and that is your complete tool for repairing holiday light sets. Congratulations, Tim, for being a winner here.
Hey, thanks a lot.
Thanks,
Tim. Happy Thanksgiving. Hey, Mike, look, she broke her record again. She's awake. Lisa's
I see
awake.
This.
This is what, 6-7 weeks in a row she's been awake in the third hour?
Aren't you proud of me?
I mean, normally she's in a fetal position over there in the corner, sleeping away.
Yeah, I'm feeling pretty good about this.
She's just snoring like sawing logs. I never heard anyone snore louder than Lisa Wolf.
Kathy Garver was here, and she was pretty upbeat, so we had a chance to sort of had to stay awake for her.
You know, you can have your uvula cut right out, and then there's no snoring anymore.
My uvula?
Yeah, your uvula.
Okay.
You know, just have that snipped. The uvula. I'm telling you, that's what it is. I looked into it because I snore.
Nothing on me gets snipped.
I snore.
I know that for a fact. Snip things.
I wake myself up, you know. I doze off when I'm doing the show.
If not, I'll wake you. Don't you worry.
Right. But these classic radio shows keep me up. I love these classic radio shows. I've been collecting these things since a wee little Amari. 12 years of age, I started listening to these shows and collecting them on.
You had a lot of insight.
Cassette tape and reel to reel. That's how I collected them back in those days. I used to slice, or they called it splicing tape. You guys are way too young.
No, that's not true. I actually had the splice tape.
Really?
Dan, you're way too long to splice tape.
You never spliced any tape, did you?
No, I never. Okay. I never had to splice tape.
Oh, I used to, I was. You know what? I had the razor blades and splice it, tape it together. Oh yeah, that's how we edited back then.
You can do that.
I can do that. I was
unbelievable.
I can't work the quick pro quo, or what do you call it? What do you work on? What is it called?
I operate
Edit
on Pro,
pro?
Tools.
Pro Tools. Yeah, I don't know anything about that. If it has a cord on it, I run. I get, you know, if it's got a cord, it scares me. If it's got an on-off button. But I used to cut tape all the time. And that, so I used to collect on reel-to-reel cassette, and I even had some 8-tracks and vinyl LPs of classic radio shows back in those days. And I used to have these all categorized and cataloged in my parents' basement. And my dad used to come down, and he'd say, "Go outside, would you? It's summer. Get out of the basement." And I'm like, "No, Dad, I like these classic radio shows. I like cattle. Someday I'm going to be on WGN radio."
Yep, and here is that someday.
You know?
It has arrived. Well, with your disco ball and your strobe light.
I did. I had a strobe light down there.
Do you have a water bed, too?
No.
Okay.
I don't think I ever had a water bed.
I'm just saying it might be something you might have had.
Lava lamps?
I don't remember, but I used to have incense. I used to burn incense down there, and I had my... Yeah, the disco ball, and then I had my platform shoes and my silk shirt.
You still
had one
silk
shirt. Platform
shoes, come on.
I would go out dancing at the Stay Out discotheque once a week, and I wore the same silk shirt pretty much every week.
It smelled pretty good,
but it was
huh?
like a week later. People didn't remember, I wouldn't think. You know?
And it looks like you're still wearing it.
Yeah. You got it right here. What do you think? It's pretty good, right?
Yeah.
And I had my Italian horn, my gold horn, and
So how'd you do?
Oh, pretty good.
Good.
Yeah, pretty good.
Excellent.
But, yeah.
So you were a late nighter back then?
Yeah, I would say up to about 10:30.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. So.
You know.
About the same as now.
Right, about the same as now. I have to take a nap before I do the show, though.
Did you take a nap today?
I took a nap, yeah. I took a little power nap.
Yes, I did
stay
not.
Up. All right, well, I digress.
Okay,
it's
yes,
time
indeed.
For some classic radio, but before that, here's our sponsor segment.
It's time for Celebrity Scoop, brought to you by Cat's Pride. Meow.
Toy Story 4 is adding the voice of this Oscar-winning actress to their cast as a laid-back hippie mom. She will be joining returning stars Tom Hanks and Tim Allen.
All right, well, she won an Academy Award for her performance in this 2014 drama called Boyhood.
You know what I'm realizing? My life is just going to go like that. This series of milestones. Getting married, having kids, getting divorced. The time that we thought you were dyslexic.
All right. If you know who that celebrity is, give us a call, 312-981-7200. Call right now, 312-981-7200. Win a $25 gift card for 800 Degrees.
No.
No?
Oh, yes. I'm sorry. You are right. I'm
oh,
sorry.
Oh, boy.
Sorry.
Oh, no. I was on a roll there, Lisa.
Sorry. Excuse me.
800 Degrees Neapolitan Pizza, Evanston.
Yes, Evanston.
Okay.
Yes.
All right. All right. Call now, and we'll find our winner after this short break.
This is the This is the WGN Radio Theater, and we are playing Name That Celebrity. Let's hear that movie clip again.
You know what I'm realizing? My life is just going to go like that. This series of milestones. Getting married, having kids, getting divorced. The time that we thought you were dyslexic.
And we have Darlene on the line from Villa Park. Hey, Darlene.
Hi. It is Patricia Arquette.
It is Patricia Arquette, and we can look forward to hearing her voice in the new Toy Story 4. And you are a winner. You have won a terrific gift certificate for 800 Degrees Neapolitan Pizza. They're right in downtown Evanston. And you can build your own pizza, and they bake it right in a wood-burning oven, and you can choose from one of theirs. You can make your own, and it's absolutely delicious, Darlene. Check them out at 800degreespizza.com.
Thank you.
You are welcome.
Thanks, Darlene.
Thank you for listening.
Can you imagine, how do they make a pizza in 1 minute?
Well, I saw it happen with my own eyes, so I know it to be true.
That's crazy.
You put on whatever ingredients you
want. 1 minute.
800 degrees.
I know, but
it's 800 degrees.
It's just crazy.
Right.
I mean, that's amazing.
You know, it feels like a very long minute. No.
Well, when you're hungry, it does.
When you're hungry.
The pizza sounds great. I got to check this out.
It's delicious.
I'm going to go there.
It has that good wood-burning fire flavor.
I'm going to take the kids. I'm going to go there.
They have a lot of very fresh ingredients there.
It sounds
like Italian-grown tomatoes and locally made fresh mozzarella, handcrafted crust. So it's really an upscale place.
I'm all about it. I'm going to check it out.
Yeah, take me there
sometime.
Probably
go this week.
Okay.
Get a free meal out of me?
Well, you know, I'm waiting for my invitation, and when I get one, I will show up.
All right, you got it. I went to Lisa's. Mike and I went to Lisa's house,
for dinner.
Was it this year?
It was a while ago.
Yeah, and she...
Some of the summer.
I tell you what, that was some good Chinese you cooked there by dialing that number.
An excellent Chinese dialer.
Yeah, you are really good. That was good. I was really
good Chinese. As a matter of fact, I offer to cook, and you say,
no,
don't cook. Let's just order Chinese.
I would like to not get...
not eat mac and cheese.
Yeah.
I was not going to make mac and cheese.
I had just gotten over a ptomaine poisoning, and I didn't really want to... You know, have that happen again.
That's not nice.
No. Lisa can cook. You cook at doing a radio show. I'll say that.
I'm having Thanksgiving in my house.
You cook on the air.
I've got to be doing something right.
Really? You're cooking for Thanksgiving?
I certainly am.
Wow. Wow.
Yep.
And
you do have some nice dining tables, I must say.
And I do have some
nice. So you're cooking
nice
for this Thanksgiving? How many guinea pigs are coming over?
Not too many.
Okay.
Just like 10 people.
Yeah?
Small. But
nice.
It's still important.
Very, very good.
Thank you.
Brave souls.
I know.
Brave souls in the Wolf family.
Yes, it's true.
All right. It's time for the Great Gildersleeve. You ready for this Thanksgiving program?
I love the Great Gildersleeve.
I know. I love him, too. November 22nd, 1942. Hal Perry stars as Throckmorton P. Gildersleeve. And, you know, this was a show. It was a first spinoff in radio because this character started on Fibber McGee and Molly's show back in the 30s. And then in 1941, Kraft Foods took it off, spun it off into its own show. And he was a water commissioner in the town of Summerfield. And he was raising his niece Marjorie and nephew Leroy. And we had Kathy Garver here earlier. She played Sissy. And on that show, the main character played by Brian Keith was raising kids.
That's
true. It's sort of a little bit like that, really, when
we
you think about
their
it.
Parents, yes.
Yeah, and this was the very first show of a single parent raising children. Mm. So The Great Gildersleeve. We're going to tune this in now. Thanksgiving program sponsored by Kraft. Here's part one of The Great Gildersleeve.
Kraft presents The Great Gildersleeve.
Yeah.
Cheese Company, who also bring you Bing Crosby every Thursday night, present each week at this time Harold Perry as the Great Gildersleeve, written by John Wheaton. Well, let's get on to the Great Gildersleeve, who's been putting in a busy Saturday morning down at the water department trying to clear his desk of all the odds and ends that have piled up there. As we join him now, we find him almost down to the blotter and feeling pretty good about it.
Action, yes, action. That's the keynote today, Miss Fitch.
And you have accomplished a great deal this morning, Mr. Gildersleeve.
Yes, sir. Never put off till tomorrow what you can do today.
I try not to.
Procrastination is the thief of time.
There's a letter here.
Time and tide wait for no man.
This woman wrote in 2 weeks ago.
For want of a nail, the shoe was lost, Miss Fitch. Action, that's the thing, action.
Mr. Gildersleeve, are you going to answer this woman's letter?
What does she want?
Action.
Be sure. Well, let's see the letter.
She says she wrote in 2 weeks ago and never got an answer.
Oh, yes, I remember this. Take an answer.
Very well.
Dear madam, in reply to your recent letter regarding a kneel in your bathtub, we wish to thank you for calling this to our attention. After a thorough investigation of the matter, we wish to report that it would have been impossible for the said eel to have gained access to your tub through the faucet. As all our water is carefully filtered, and furthermore, standard plumbing fixtures are too small to accommodate an eel of the dimensions you describe. We can only suggest that the creature either crawled up the drain, in which event your attorney should get in touch with the Department of Public Works, not us. Or possibly it was placed in your tub by an enemy. While it's out of our department, we'd suggest that a stopper kept in the tub at all times should prove an effective precaution against eels in the future. Failing which, we'd advise a closer check on your friends. Very truly yours, Throckmorton P. Gildersleeve, Water Commissioner. You got that?
Yes, Mr. Gildersleeve.
That ought to hold her. What's next?
Well, I don't know whether you want to do anything about this.
Let's have it. Action, Miss Fitch. Let's clear the decks here.
Very well.
This is no time for bottlenecks.
No.
You'll notice that in every photograph of Donald Nelson, there's not a single paper on Donald Nelson's desk. That's the only way to be an executive. Do it now. Strike while the iron is hot. Come, come, come. What have you got there?
A 6 month reminder from your dentist.
You. Well, suppose you put that in the deferred file.
That's where it came from.
You're a hard woman, Miss Fitch. All right, call up the dentist and make an appointment for Monday.
Good.
For Leroy. Come on, let's get on here. Time's a-wasting. Hey, have you got the application for my bee gas ration?
Yes, it's right here.
Oh, I must remember to get that in this afternoon.
It's all filled out. All you have to do is sign it.
I better check it over. Let's see here. It says, occupational use of the vehicle. If vehicle is used for driving between home and fixed place of work in the principal occupation as stated in items 4 and 6 above, answer all questions in part A below. If vehicle is used in the performance of the principal occupation stated in items 4 and 6 above, oh, brother, I'll take your word for it, Miss Fitch.
You also have to get the signatures of any person sharing the ride with you.
Oh, well, Judge Hooker is my share of the rider, but he isn't speaking to me. He can darn well sign, though.
I understand very few people are going to get the bee rations.
Oh, I'll get one, all right. After all, I'm a city official. I have to do a lot of official driving. I'm entitled to one if anybody is.
Yes, but have you heard who's head of the ration board now?
It doesn't make any difference. Who?
Judge Hooker.
Judge Hooker. Oh, my goodness. Hooker will find some technicality. He'll block it if he has to stage a filibuster. Maybe I better invite the old goat to Thanksgiving dinner after all.
That might soften him up a little.
Yes, certainly. Mm-hmm. He couldn't accept a man's hospitality and then trick him out of his B card, could he?
I don't recall that the application form covers that.
No, I didn't think so. Quiet. Here comes the old sour ball now. Well, hello there, Judge.
When does the bus leave, Gildersleeve?
The bus leaves whenever you're ready, Judgy.
I'm ready now.
Be right with you. Can't keep a customer waiting, can we, Miss Fitch? I'll get my hat and coat.
Mr. Gildersleeve, you're not forgetting.
Oh, yes. Thank you. While you're waiting, Judge, Miss Fitch has an application blank there that requires your signature. A mere formality, you know.
What's this?
Just to show that I'm sharing my car with you.
Oh, so you're applying for a B ration book, huh?
Aren't we all? Give the judge a pen, Miss Fitch. Here, use mine. It's a self-filler. I think you'll like it. There, that's it.
There you are.
Thank you, Judge. Well, see you Monday, Miss Fitch. Oh, by the way, Horace, I meant to ask you before. I hope you'll give us the pleasure of dining with us as usual on Thursday.
I thought you'd forgotten all about Thanksgiving.
Not at all. Thanksgiving wouldn't be Thanksgiving without you, Horace. You know that.
Leroy, now while I fit this.
I feel like a sissy in this fool outfit.
This is the kind of clothes the Pilgrims wore, and they were no sissies.
Yeah, but they didn't have to wear them in front of a whole auditorium full of people.
Stand still, will you, before I jab you with this pin.
The courtship of Miles Standish.
Why don't you speak for yourself, John?
Yeah. Oh!
I told you you'd get stuck. You know, I think you're going to look real cute when I get this down.
That's just what I'm afraid of. That's what the whole school is going to think.
Leroy, will you stand still?
It wouldn't have been so bad if I was Miles Standish. I'd get to wear a helmet. But John Alden, that panty waist. I'm lucky the teacher didn't make me play Priscilla.
I don't see why you feel that way. John Alden is a hero. Remember, it's John Alden who gets the girl.
Yeah, Ethel Hammerschlag, he can have her.
And Leroy.
Hello.
Well, look at our little pilgrim.
Hey, Marge, can't I take this off now?
No, wait till I get it pinned.
Do you know your lines yet, young man?
Some of them.
Well, it's about time. You've been rehearsing that part for a month.
I've been trying to get out of this for a month.
That's no attitude to take. The Courtship of Miles Standish is great literature. I studied it in school myself. I remember it to this very day. This is the forest primeval, the murmuring pines and the hemlocks.
That's Evangeline, Uncle Mort.
Well, that's good, too. Let's hear you recite that speech you were having trouble with last night, Leroy.
No, I don't want to.
Come on now, I want to see if you've learned it.
Oh, some other time, Uncle.
No, right now. I'd like to hear it. We both would. Wouldn't we, Marjorie?
We'd love to.
No, I won't do it. Not if she's going
to
listen.
Young man, you'll recite that speech or you'll go right upstairs to your room.
Okay.
We're waiting.
Let's see. Prithee, Mistress Priscilla, turn not a deaf ear to the suit of one who, though absent yet,
yet loves thee with a noble and undying passion. Go back and try it again.
Do I have to?
Yes. If you don't keep at it, you'll never learn the part.
If I don't learn the part, maybe we won't have to do it.
You'll do it, or I'll know the reason why. Come on now, once more.
Prithee, Mistress Priscilla. I can't say it.
You're not trying. Prithee, Mistress Priscilla. Now you got me doing it. Oh, Bertie, I want to talk to you. Leroy, you go up to your room and practice.
Darn old Miles Standish anyway.
Quiet, you. Bertie, I've invited Judge Hooker to Thanksgiving dinner. So that'll mean one more.
That'll mean five more.
What?
Yes, I hope you don't mind, Uncle Mort. I invited four of the boys from Camp Fuller.
Oh, well, fine. The more, the merrier. Thanksgiving isn't Thanksgiving unless there are plenty around to enjoy the turkey.
Speaking of turkey, Mr. Gildersleeve.
Yes, Bertie?
You wouldn't want to buy a chance on one, would you, I don't suppose?
What do you mean, Bertie?
Well, the ladies at my church is holding a turkey raffle.
Again? All right, I'll buy a chance. How much are they?
25 cents. That's for one.
One chance. There you are. There's a quarter.
Thank you. Most everybody around here has bought one from me. All the neighbors.
Well, you're doing fine.
Of course. If you used to buy two chances, it stands to reason you'd have twice as good a chance as they have.
No getting around that, Bertie. All right, I'll take two.
Mr. Gildersleeve, you're making no mistake. Turkey's awful expensive this year.
Yes, I know, Bertie.
48 cents a pound at day one grocery.
Oh, brother.
Yeah. So if even you used to buy three chances, you'd still be ahead.
Sold, Bertie. Make it three.
Yes, sir. Let's see now. How many is it going to be for dinner?
Well, there's Marjorie and Leroy and Judge Hooker and Mrs. Ransom and the four soldiers and you, Bertie. That makes nine.
And you, that makes 12. Yes.
Oh, yeah, that's me.
That's going to take a big turkey.
Well, maybe we should order one right away and ask him to hold it for us.
Well, let's wait and see how this raffle comes out first, Marjorie. We don't want to be stuck with two turkeys, you know.
Of course, they've sold quite a lot of chances on it. You've only got three.
Bertie, if you can guarantee I'll get the turkey, I'll take five chances.
Well, I can't promise nothing. But my cousin's doing the drawing.
I'll take five.
Well, that'll be a dollar and a quarter.
That's right. Well, here's another dollar.
That's quite a lot of money.
Yes, it is.
A dollar and a quarter will buy a lot of things.
Don't I know it.
You wouldn't like to take a couple more chances just to protect your investment.
You get out of here, Bertie, before you ruin me. I got to get down to the ration board. that crowd. Pardon me. Could somebody tell me whether this is where you get B-ration books?
No, this is where you don't get them.
wise guy. Madam, would you mind?
You can't shove in here.
I'm not trying to shove in.
End of the line.
End of the line. I've been waiting here since 2 o'clock and you come trying to shove in.
Yeah.
Madam, I was merely trying to ask a civil question.
End of the line, yes. Bud.
Just a minute. Who do you think you're pushing?
Well, who do you think you're pushing?
Well, who do you think you're pushing? By George, if you weren't wearing glasses...
Well, I'll take them off. There.
You look worse. Put them back on.
What's the fuss here? What's the fuss?
He tried to shove in ahead of me.
I did not.
He did, too, and he squeezed my hand.
Oh! Now, look here, my good woman.
We'll have to ask for order here, my friend. Why don't you just take your place in the line?
I'm trying to find out whether this is the right line. I've come for my B ration book.
Oh, you've come for it, huh?
Yes. I have my application right here.
You and 100 million others.
What? Young man, evidently you don't know who I am. I happen to be Throckmorton P. Gildersleeve, and I have to do a lot of driving.
Where to?
Well, out to the reservoir.
To the reservoir? What for?
To see if there's anything in it.
Yeah? Listen, brother, if we gave a ration book to everybody who wants to drive out to the reservoir for a little necking in the moonlight...
I don't do any necking in the moonlight.
Oh, you like it in the dark.
Yeah, no! And I didn't come here to be insulted by underlings.
End of the line, bud.
Yes, end of the line. End of the line.
End of the line. Oh, shut up.
Watch me be the governor, Gildy.
Oh, Judge, I want you to tell this young whippersnapper here where he gets off.
Well, now, Gildy.
He has the nerve to tell me I'm not entitled to a B ration book.
Well, he may be right, Gildy. You're only sharing the ride with one person.
You can't throw those technicalities at me, Hooker. You're the share of my rider. You signed this application yourself.
I know that, Gildy. As a share of the rider, I'd be delighted to see you get your ration book. But as a ration official, I couldn't possibly pass this application. My conscience wouldn't allow it.
All right, Judge. As a ration official, you needn't bother to come to Thanksgiving dinner. And as a share of the rider, from now on, you can walk.
End of the line.
Oh, you can have your old line.
And that's the first portion of a 1942 Thanksgiving program starring Hal Perry as the Great Gildersleeve. Let's take a break, and then we'll get back to all the fun. Now, I think I was about 19 when this kind of music came out, right?
And what is this kind of music?
This is like electric funk. What is this, electric funk?
Yeah. That's
the Smashing Pumpkins.
Oh, the Smashing Pumpkins.
Though.
So this would have been 90 or 91?
In the 90s,
you sure you were
yeah.
19?
Well, let me think about that. No, I was a little...
just a wee bit
just
older.
Just a little older. Let's see. I was born in 63, so I was
about 30.
30? Oh, my gosh, really?
Yeah, how time flies.
Smashing Pumpkins, our own Smashing Pumpkins right here. Right?
Right.
Yeah, very good. I like that.
Dan's
like,
good at that.
Yeah. Corrigan, Billy Corrigan, right? Is that his name?
Billy Corrigan. That's
not correct. Bad, Amari. Not bad. See, not all of my mind is just used up with classic radio. I do like a little Smashing Pumpkins every once in a while. Right, and he's from Chicago. He grew up in the suburbs, Billy Corey. Let's have him on the show sometime. We'll talk about classic radio and music.
Okay. Got it.
I'm down for that. Yeah. I'm totally down for that.
You'd like to meet him, right?
Sure. Mike, take care of
Absolutely.
That, would you?
Mike would like that.
I know
and
some
Dan
guys.
Like
I actually know some guys personally who have worked with him.
Great,
so.
Oh,
very cool. All right, so I think what we'll do is listen to the conclusion of this Gildersleeve show. But before we get into that, I just want to give Lisa a chance to. You went and saw some incredible play this week.
Not exactly a play. So I went to the Riviera Theater, which is the uptown neighborhood here in Chicago, and I saw Scott Bradley's Postmodern Jukebox. So it was a one-night only thing. It included, do you remember Haley Reinhardt? She was on season 10 of American Idol.
I do. Yep.
Okay. And
I remember her.
Casey Abrams, I think they were dating at some point. He was also on season 10 of American Idol. And Ariana Savalas. Do you know who that is?
No.
Telly Savalas' daughter.
Right.
Right? So they are some of the people that
is
are featured.
Is she bald?
She was not bald. Okay. But, you know, they
didn't look like her father then.
No, she was quite pretty, actually. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm sure her father's pretty, too.
Yeah.
But this was a Jam Productions, and Jam Productions is the largest independent producer of live entertainment.
Maybe she was like Sinead O'Connor, you know?
Right. No. But that was a very good comparison.
Because Sinead could have been his daughter.
She could have been, but she's not.
Okay.
Right, I'm just saying. So I just wanted to mention, I went to this Jam production. They do shows at Park West and the Vic and Riviera Theater, amongst others, and had a really great experience, and I wanted to give them a shout-out
over
at the Riviera Theater.
There you go.
It was a fantastic show. I was there for my anniversary, and it was really a spectacular show.
Right.
So I wanted
all
you
men
to know
out
that.
There, sorry, Lisa is married 26 years?
26 years.
Wow.
And what did we do for our 26-year anniversary? We were at the Riviera Theater.
Nice.
So it was terrific.
Dan puts up with that, huh? He likes
going
to...
Can you imagine?
Does he go to those things with you a lot?
I did it for him. What do you
mean?
We did it together.
I would be like, see ya, have fun.
My question is, does he pay attention?
He loved it. This is a concert. This was fantastic.
This is his opportunity to take a nap while you're enjoying yourself.
No, if it was boring, he would have napped. In this particular case, I'm telling you, it was a great show and a great theater.
You know what Dan does? See, Dan, her husband's an attorney. He works hard. He works a lot of hours. And then she wants to go to these things. You know what he does? He says, yeah, honey, it sounds great because, you know what they say, happy wife, happy life.
Yes, that's true.
And what he
true.
Does is like the Three Stooges, he paints his eyelids like they're open, you know? Like he paints the closed eyelids like
right.
their eyeballs.
And I have to elbow him every
and
few minutes.
And he's just like, yeah, this is great, honey. This is just, I'm
that
loving this
show.
That
does happen sometimes, but it did not happen at the Riviera
Theater. Well,
because
the Riviera has great, great
This was
productions.
A particularly great concert.
Okay.
Okay.
Very good. Should we listen to the conclusion of the Thanksgiving program with Hal Perry as the Great Gildersleeve?
I would love to.
All right, let's go back to November 22nd, 1942, the conclusion now of the Great Gildersleeve.
Now back to Summerfield and the Great Gildersleeve. Apparently, he'll get no more gas than the rest of us, but what about turkey? It's Tuesday afternoon now, only 2 days before Thanksgiving. We find our hero checking last-minute details with Marjorie.
What about those four soldiers, my dear? Are you sure they're coming?
Oh, yes. I had a note this morning from their commanding officer. They'll arrive at 12 o'clock sharp in a jeep.
A jeep?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, brother, what an appetite they'll have. I'll have to run around the house a couple of times to get myself up to concert pitch. Can't let the boys show me up at my own table.
I don't think you need to worry about that, Uncle Mort.
Oh, yeah. Well, I guess we're all set. Soldiers accepted. Hooker canceled. Mrs. Ransom. Mrs. Ransom's coming, isn't she?
You invited her, didn't you?
No, I thought you'd take care of that. You're the lady of the house.
Oh, but I thought you'd want to. Oh, dear. And I went over there this morning to borrow a roasting pan for the turkey and never said a word about it. What must she think?
Oh, this is terrible. This is awful. I'll run over there right now. Serves right. She's made other plans. A fine thing. Borrow a woman's roaster and then not invite her to dinner. Oh, my goodness.
Oh, Mr. Gildersleeve.
Leela, I've come to explain.
I don't know what there is to explain, I'm sure.
May I come in?
Well, I'm rather busy.
Just for a moment.
Well?
Leela, of course you're coming to Thanksgiving dinner Thursday.
Well, I'm hardly in the habit of going to places to which I've not been invited, Mr. Gildersleeve.
But you are invited. You've been invited all along. There was a mix-up, that's all. I thought Marjorie had asked you, and Marjorie thought I had.
How do I know? How do I know you're not just inviting me for my roasting pan?
Leela, when I thought of inviting you, nothing was further from my mind than a roasting pan.
Oh, you say those things, but you don't mean them.
It's the truth. You were the first one on my list, Leela.
Was I, Throckmorton? Sure enough.
Yeah.
Oh, but I'm afraid I couldn't accept at this late date. You see, I've had all these other invitations.
Oh.
If I turn them down now, I know they'd be heartbroken, much as I'd like to have dinner with you.
We're having a 20-pound turkey.
I love turkey, but I'm afraid I can't.
I'll save you the white meat.
No, don't tempt me now.
I'll save you the wishbone. We can make a wish on it.
What would you wish, Throckmorton?
I'm not supposed to tell you.
Well, I don't know that I could trust you with a wishbone. And, and anyway, I've promised these other people.
But you've got to come, Leela. Marjorie and Leroy will be terribly disappointed if you don't. So will I. So will Bertie. If so will the Army.
The Army?
Yes, we're having four young lieutenants to dinner, too.
Throckmorton, why in the world didn't you say so?
You mean you'll come?
Will I?
You're too good to me, Leela.
What did she say, Uncle Mort?
She's coming with bells on.
I wouldn't put it past her.
Huh?
Uncle Mort, can I borrow your shotgun?
No, Leroy, certainly not. Why?
I'm supposed to bring a gun to school tomorrow.
What kind of a school are they running? A reform school?
No, Miles Standish has got to have a blunderbuss.
A blunderbuss?
Here's your pilgrim suit, Leroy. I pressed the collar, so don't mess it up.
Oh, put it on, Leroy, and show Uncle Mort how nice it looks. Not finished.
Oh, no.
Go ahead. You look real nice in it.
I look like a sissy in it.
You look better than you do in that Mickey Mouse sweatshirt you wear all the time.
Yeah, and cleaner, too. Put on the pilgrim suit, Leroy.
Oh,
Your sister worked hard on it. It won't do you any harm to put it on once. Go ahead.
Okay. I'd like to meet that guy Longfellow.
Yeah. Well, Bertie, you think we're going to have enough turkey for all these people Thursday?
I don't know, Mr. Gilsleeve.
Let's see now. We've got four soldiers and the four of us here and Mrs. Ransom.
What about Judge Hooker?
Judge Hooker is an ungrateful old goat. Never mention his name in this house.
Excuse me. I didn't know it was like that again.
There'll be eight of us at dinner. And you know the way soldiers eat. You think we ought to figure on two turkeys?
I don't know, Mr. Gilsleeve. I don't know what we ought to do.
What's the matter, Bertie? You seem to be sort of dragging today.
I don't know. I don't guess I feel so good.
Out a little late last night?
No, sir. No later than usual. I just got a feeling, that's all.
What kind of a feeling?
Like things wasn't going to work out somehow.
Oh, well, don't let it get you down. By the way, when are they going to raffle off that turkey I bought all those chances on?
Yes, we can't wait much longer to find out about that. Thanksgiving's only 2 days off.
I was thinking, Mr. Gilsleeve, how would it be if we had a nice ham instead of a turkey?
Bertie, are you hiding something from us?
No, sir, I ain't hiding nothing. Except they had that raffle last night.
Oh.
You came close, Mr. Gilsleeve. You came mighty close. The winning number was 61 and you had 62.
But it still leaves us without a turkey.
Well, sort of.
Oh, well, if you gamble, you have to expect those things.
We better order a turkey right away, though.
Yes, we can't invite all those soldiers to come 20 miles for Thanksgiving dinner and have no Thanksgiving dinner.
Well, I'll go call up the market and reserve one.
That's just the trouble.
What do you mean?
I called up the market and all the turkeys is reserved.
You mean they won't sell us one?
Butcher says there ain't a turkey left in Summerfield. I don't know what's the matter. Last week, no pot roast. This week, no turkey.
We've got to have a turkey. We've invited all these soldiers. We've invited Mrs. Ransom. We've got to find one.
But where?
Don't ask me.
All right, Unc. How do you like it?
Like what?
The pilgrim suit.
Oh, forget the pilgrim suit. We just lost our turkey.
No turkey?
No turkey.
How do you like that? Well, it looks like we'll all wind up eating turkey sandwiches at the drugstore. Yeah. Some Thanksgiving.
The drugstore? Maybe Peavy's got a turkey. Hold everything, kids. I'll be right back. I'm going to the drugstore.
Hello, Mr. Gildersleeve.
Peavy. Peavy, you've got to help me out.
Well, I'm always glad to do a customer service.
Good. Have you got a turkey?
What was that again?
Have you got a turkey?
A turkey? Well, now, I've had people come in here and ask for some strange things, but this is the first time I've ever had a request for a turkey.
But never mind that. Have you got one?
No, Mr. Gildersleeve. Turkeys are one thing that I don't carry. I'm sorry. Have you tried the meat market?
Of course I've tried the meat market. Why do you think I came in here?
I wondered.
Now, just a minute, Peavy. You serve turkey sandwiches at your soda fountain, don't you?
Yes, we do serve a turkey sandwich.
You can't make a turkey sandwich without a turkey, can you?
Well, now, I wouldn't say that.
In other words, Peavy, your turkey sandwich is not a turkey sandwich.
Well, turkey sandwich has become a sort of a trade expression, although we serve it with genuine cranberry jelly on the side.
But suppose you don't care for cranberry jelly.
And then you just ask for the regular chicken sandwich.
Yes, sir. Peavy, I'm surprised at you. I don't know how you can sleep nights.
Well, I did used to have a little trouble, but I just take a cup of hot cocoa before going to bed now, and I find that sets me right. So does Mrs. Peavy.
Well, this isn't finding a turkey. I gotta get going. Goodbye.
Goodbye, Mr. Gildersleeve. Have a nice Thanksgiving.
Same to you. Don't drink too much cocoa. And don't let Mrs. Peavy.
Any luck, Uncle Mort?
Not a bit, my dear. I've been everywhere. It's no use. The army's picked the place clean. There's not a single turkey left.
Maybe I should warn those boys at camp. They'll do better if they stay there.
Yes. Wait. There's just one chance left.
What's that?
If we can find out who won the turkey in Bertie's raffle, we might be able to buy it from him. Bertie!
Yes, Mr. Gildersleeve?
Would you mind coming in here?
Yes, sir.
Bertie, do you know who won that turkey in your raffle?
No, sir.
Do you think you could find out?
Well, sir, I might be able to. Then again, I might not.
What do you mean by that?
Well, if I still find out who won, you might not like it.
Come clean, Bertie. What bush are you beating about now? You know who won the turkey?
Yes.
Well, why didn't you say so? Who is it?
Well, you said never to mention Judge Hooker's name.
Oh!
I told you you wasn't going to like it.
Well, there goes our only chance.
Uncle Moore, don't you think Judge Hooker would be willing to let you have it?
After what I told him down at the ration board? No, my dear, I really gave him a piece of my mind there.
But if you took it all back and invited him to dinner again?
When he's got the turkey, he'd just laugh at me. Wait a minute. Bertie?
Yeah?
Does Judge Hooker know yet that he's won the turkey?
No, sir. I'm supposed to deliver it to him this evening.
Excuse me, folks. I gotta see a judge about a bird. Horace, I've come to ask your forgiveness.
You've come to the wrong place, Gildersleeve.
That's a cruel attitude, Judge. But I don't blame you for taking it.
You behave like a boor, Gildersleeve.
You're right. A big boor. In front of a whole lot of people, too.
Yeah.
I could kick myself when I think of it.
Well, we all fly off the handle sometimes.
There was no excuse for it, doing a thing like that to my old friend.
Well, Gildy, of
course. Horace, you may think me a sentimental old fool, but we've been pals for a good many years now, haven't we? Off and on.
Yes, Gildy, we have. Off and on.
Yes. And we've always had Thanksgiving dinner together, haven't we?
Yeah, I guess that's right.
Well, I want you to have it with us again this year.
You really mean that?
Horace, I've said it before, and I mean it now more than ever. If you don't come to Thanksgiving dinner, it just won't be Thanksgiving dinner.
Well, then, I'll certainly be delighted to come.
Good. Don't forget now.
I won't.
We'll be counting on you.
I'll be there. What time would you like to have me come?
Oh, come early, Judge. Come about 9 o'clock in the morning.
9 o'clock?
Yeah. And when you come, would you mind bringing that turkey you won in the raffle, Judge?
Well, Gildy, I've got to be going. But it's been a mighty pleasant day.
Oh, stick around, Judge. The evening's young yet.
No, I've got to get an early start in the morning. But I don't know when I've had a finer Thanksgiving.
Well, it was your turkey, Judge.
Well, I share my turkey, you share your car. That's the spirit today.
Yeah, and a good spirit, too. It brings people together, Judge.
Yes, it does, Gildy. I'm sorry we had that misunderstanding down at the ration board. As a matter of fact, you're probably entitled to a B ration. You use your car for official business.
Well, I don't want a B book.
What?
No, I've been thinking about it, Horace. It seems to me the spirit of rationing is to get along with as little as you can, instead of grabbing all you can get.
You're absolutely right, Gildy, and I'm glad to hear you say it. You're a credit to the community.
Well, thank you, Horace. And you may rest assured that even though I've only a humble A ration, my car will still be at your service at all times.
You mean that, Gildy?
I do indeed.
That's fine. I've got to meet a train at Moore's Junction at 6 o'clock tomorrow morning. Good night, Gildy.
Good night, everybody.
Original music heard on this program was composed and conducted by Billy Mills. This is Ken Carpenter speaking for the Kraft Cheese Company and inviting you to tune in again next week for the further adventures of the Great Gildersleeve.
This program reached you from Hollywood. This is the National Broadcasting Company.
There you go. That is the Thanksgiving program of The Great Gildersleeve, November 22nd, 1942. Hal Perry starring as Throckmorton P. Gildersleeve. And a terrific cast sponsored by Kraft as heard on NBC. Hope you enjoyed that. Hope you enjoyed all three of the Thanksgiving programs that we played for you on this edition of the WGN Radio Theater. Now, don't forget, Lisa Wolf and I and Dan Long will be back here on Thanksgiving night, 7:30 till 10 p.m. So have some Thanksgiving turkey or dinner or whatever you're going to have, cranberries and all the good stuff, and then tune us in at 7:30. We'll have two half-hour Thanksgiving shows plus a 15-minute Thanksgiving program. You're going to – that Fibber McGee and Molly, I think we're doing, a 15-minute Fibber McGee and Molly. Let me look here. And then I think a Casey crime photographer – and then one other thing.
Yeah,
do you
remember? Fibber McGee and Molly, the Aldrich family.
Oh, the Aldrich family.
And Casey crime photographer. Yeah. So we've got three shows.
Very, very good. So make sure you're with us on Thanksgiving this Thursday, 7:30 to 10. Okay, it is time for Name That Movie, right?
Right.
Okay, so this is a 1996 drama, comedy, romance. And if you know what it is, you can call us at 312-981-7200. 312-981-7200. And what do they win?
A Lightkeeper Pro.
Oh, another Lightkeeper Pro. All right. Here is a movie clip.
Okay. Just jump right into my nightmare. The water is warm.
All right. So the name of the movie, that's what we're looking for. That was Tom Cruise. I'll give you that hint. 1996 drama, comedy, romance. Play the clip one more time. All right, Dan?
Okay. Just jump right into my nightmare. The water is warm.
312-981-7200. We'll find our winner after this short break.
We are back, and we are playing Name That Movie. Let's hear that movie clip again.
Okay. Just jump right into my nightmare. The water is warm.
And we have Gene on the line from Chadwick. Hey, Gene.
Hi.
Hi. We're glad you're still awake, and we're hoping that you can name that movie for us.
Jerry Maguire.
It is Jerry Maguire. You're going to show me the money, Gene. Show me the money.
Yeah, Cuba Gooding Jr. was the best one in that movie.
He was terrific.
He won an Academy Award.
Yes,
for that.
He did. It was a terrific movie.
He was great.
Terrific.
One of my favorite sports movies, you know, with Hoosiers.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, very good movie.
And you had me at hello. I actually used that line. I don't know. You had me at hello. Anyhow, I digress. You are a winner, Gene. You've won the Lightkeeper Pro, and you can watch the video at lightkeeperpro.com. I watched the video. It is a complete tool for repairing your holiday light sets. So congratulations on winning the Lightkeeper Pro.
Way to go, Gene.
Thanks a lot.
Thank you. Happy Thanksgiving.